my website, www.deborahlindsay.com. That's Deborah, DeborahLindsay, deborahlindsay.com. And you will see a place there where it says listen to our archives. And also tomorrow on, oh, I told you that already. Thank you for giving me your part of your day. Remember, we change tomorrow by changing
today. Progressive Talk for the Monterey
Bay
Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carnes. Housing prices are down, lost more than 14% in the first quarter of the year. CBS's Anthony Mason takes a look.
We are seeing an acceleration in the decline in housing prices, and we do not see a bottom yet. A lot of analysts seem to think this is going to drag on well into next year, and we won't even actually see recovery probably until the year after that.
New home sales are up a little over 3% in April over March.
I'm Dan Revive. The bright spots in the housing market are where things got very bad in the past year. Detroit, for instance, the number of homes in the city purchased so far this year, up almost 50%. The average price, down more than 50%. Cheap houses in foreclosure are selling. The same is true in Sacramento, California, according to the head of the Realtors Association there, Alan Wagner.
The pricing structure has come down quite a bit.
A typical house at the high point 3 years ago, $400,000, now $225,000.
Confidence is down 5 points. Lynn Franco at the conference board says inflation is mild but already being felt.
Their dollar is not stretching as much as it used to. Food and gas are taking up more of their budget, and they really feel like inflation is outpacing their earnings.
Wall Street didn't freak out over any of this stuff. The Dow today was up about 68, almost 69 points. The Nasdaq gained more than 36, and oil prices were down $3.59 a barrel at $128.60. The childhood obesity problem is not expanding anymore, but it is still a huge issue for the health of the nation.
Childhood obesity rates have been rising.
If you're too heavy as a teen, you're likely to be obese as an adult, and that can be a problem.
Many parents and schools apparently are getting the message. CDC researcher Cynthia Ogden finds the percentage of obese children has leveled off for the first time in more than two decades. She says her study in the Journal of the American Medical Association provides some optimism. Even so, one in six young Americans is overweight or obese. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
A bit of politics. Barack Obama going after Republican John McCain today.
On issue after issue, John McCain is offering more of the same policies that have failed for the last 8 years. That's the agenda that he and the president are raising money to support later today.
I'm Mark Knoller in Phoenix. It looks like John McCain is trying to minimize his public appearances with President Bush because not one of the three fundraisers he's doing for McCain is open to press coverage. But Press Secretary Dana Perino says Mr. Bush wants McCain to be his successor and is just glad to be back out on the campaign trail doing some politicking.
Barack Obama's campaign's doing a little backtracking after he claimed that a great uncle helped liberate the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz during World War II. Auschwitz was liberated by the Soviets. Now Obama's office says it was Buchenwald. This is CBS News.
Ever seen the way a squirrel hoards acorns? Well, that's how I am with Travel Rewards, especially now that I'm getting 1,000 Choice Privileges bonus points every time I stay at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn hotels. Just book at choicehotels.com, then start loading up on your reward points. Best of all, you don't even need stretchy cheeks. Visit choicehotels.com to book your stay with Econo Lodge or Roadway Inn and start hoarding away.
Members earn bonus points when paying qualifying rates. Reservations must be made at choicehotels.com with arrival between 6-1 and 8-1408. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
So you're in the market for a good used car but have no idea where to look. Well, I can take the angst out of your auto search. Honda Certified Used Cars. First, it's a Honda. They kind of corner the market on reliability. Second, they're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda Certified Used Cars. The next best thing to new. And then some.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
If Phoenix weren't so far away, someone might just walk over and flip a switch or something.
The deployment of Phoenix's robot arm has been delayed for at least a day because of communication problems between Phoenix and the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. The orbiter sends directions to Phoenix through a radio link. The problem is preventing those instructions from being sent. Officials are trying to reestablish the link. If that doesn't work, though, a second orbiter, the Mars Odyssey Orbiter, would be used to tell Phoenix what to do. Steve Futterman, CBS News. at Jet Propulsion Laboratory, Pasadena, California.
Celine Dion, the singer, has less than 6 acres in Palm Beach, Florida, but she used 6.5 million gallons of water in a year, 250 times the average amount of water used by people in Florida. That's like filling a 50-gallon bathtub every 4 minutes nonstop. And she's building a bigger house, second on the water wasters list, Tiger Woods, 3.7 million gallons in his property. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. That's why every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles. Only then is it worthy of the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer, our good name. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and roadside assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000 mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
That light comes on and that's my cue to start talking. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's what I love to do. And I'm glad you can join us today. We got loads of stuff to talk about. In fact, yours truly is doing a doubleheader. Tonight I'll be on Air America Coast to Coast, sitting in for John Elliott. That's 8 to 11 p.m. Pacific time if you'd like to log on to airamerica.com and catch the stream. On today's program, in a moment, Odette Wilkins returns from the Equal Justice Alliance. More draconian legislation is pending, this time in Sacramento. We'll tell you about it. Also this hour, Betsy Reed, who writes for The Nation, a powerful piece in a current issue called Race to the Bottom, How Hillary Clinton's Campaign Has Divided the Feminist Movement. We'll talk about it. Next hour, we're going to meet Atossa Soltani. She is founder and executive director of Amazon Watch. They're here in the Bay Area to welcome Chevron and its shareholders to the annual meeting. We'll find out what kind of surprises they have in store for the oil giant. Also on today's program, Jason Leopold, investigative reporter and the founder of PubRecord.org. That's a new website, the public record. He has discovered a new player in the firing of New Mexico U.S. Attorney David Iglesias. He'll tell you all about it coming up about 90 minutes from now. And we've got an update from Melanie Sloan in Washington at CRU, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, how the Ethics Committee has taken a pass on the philanderer and drunk driver Vito Fisella, and Rick Renzi, who's got real estate ethical problems there in Arizona. And Ron Paul, the libertarian Republican who charmed a lot of people running for president this year. Turns out loads of his family members are on the campaign payroll. Melanie will dish the details coming up a little bit later. You can join the conversation whenever you like, and I'd like you to join at 888-5-PETER-B. We pay for the call toll-free, 888-573-8372. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. We met Odette Wilkins when she came to Project Censored last fall because the story that became news and the issues that she's worked so hard on were one of the least covered stories in 2007. And, well, the blanket continues over most of these issues. Odette is executive director of the Equal Justice Alliance, and they're on the web at equaljusticealliance.org. Hello again, Odette.
Hi, Peter. Nice to meet you again.
Well, it's good to talk with you. And I want to just remind our listeners before we dive into this new legislation in California that if you have worked hard to raise awareness and prevent passage of two pieces of federal legislation, the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act and also the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, and these things have not gotten very much attention. But I wanted to share something that was slightly positive that occurred since the last time you and I spoke.
Yes.
Maxine Waters, the Democratic Congresswoman from Los Angeles, was on the show, and this was a couple of months back. And I just asked her about this. I said, Maxine, only five people in the House voted against this, and it criminalizes thought. And it you know, ratchets up the offenses for those who may commit crimes of vandalism or other types of crime in pursuit of their desire to define animal rights, while similar activities by people who are not affiliated with an animal rights organization would draw far fewer penalties. And I was stunned, Odette, because you know what she said? She said, I think I may have gotten that one wrong. She said, let me see if I can fix it.
Really? Well, we're all about fixing it because we would love to see that piece of legislation repealed or certainly lessened. And I'll certainly give Maxine Waters a call. I'm glad that you told me about it.
Yeah, please do. And, you know, she thought about it for a minute. She remembered what it was. And I have empathy for members of Congress because they try to do their best to understand what they're voting on. But sometimes the votes come so quickly and they're complicated that you may want to get one back every now and then. And it appears that was her sense of regret. But this bill passed the House. And right now we're talking about the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act, and it awaits action in the Senate. Is that correct?
That's right. The Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act was actually passed overwhelmingly in the House. I don't have the figures right in front of me, but I think it was maybe about 404 votes.
Well, there were only five negative votes. One of them was Kucinich, and I used to know who the others were.
Right. Well, Kucinich likened it to the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act because it is targeting extremist belief systems without identifying what those extremist belief systems are.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certainly a problem there, and unfortunately, the saga continues because now California has introduced the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, and it was passed unanimously in the Assembly, and it is now being considered in the Senate, and we would like to raise everyone's awareness about this bill, and it is really not a very good piece of legislation, and from our analysis at Equal Justice Alliance really runs counter to constitutional law and Supreme Court jurisprudence.
Well, Odette, let me come back to that one in a moment,
because
just for clarity here, I want to finish up on the Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act and the Senate version of that. Do we know when it might come up for debate? Because I'd like to alert listeners and get them on Boxer's radar. Feinstein rarely thinks twice about hardline bills against crime, but I think that we really need to try to educate the senators so they don't mirror the mistake of the House.
Yes, that's right. And I think the Senate is having a hard time with the bill. In other words, I think we were able to catch it in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And we've slowed down the process tremendously. And
does a certain member of the Senate have a hold on it? Because senators do have greater prerogative to just kind of say, I don't like that one. Put it on the shelf.
Well, I'm not really sure which senators are now not liking it, but I understand it's stalled in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
That is my understanding. But it's a good thing to let your senators know in any event that if it were to come back up, and it could come back up at any time, that you are opposed to it. Because once it does come back up, it'll go very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it's quite stalled in the Senate, and it doesn't seem to be proceeding, and it seems to have lost momentum.
Well, please do sound the alarm if you see it being, you know, revived or under consideration, or maybe, you know, they're planning to amend it to another bill that's likely to pass so that we wouldn't notice as much.
Exactly, exactly. And so I will certainly alert you, Peter, and so that you can let your listeners know about its impending passage.
Okay,
but at this point, thank goodness, we were able to stall it in the Senate. So
well, what we've seen is a pattern where the Republican administration waits until there's a recess or a vacation period coming, and they try to jam all kinds of bad legislation through when everybody's in a hurry to get out of town. And so those are some of the flashpoints we need to watch for.
Well, I just want to clarify. It wouldn't pass so quickly if the Democrats were not supporting it as well. And as a matter of fact, the Democrats are very much supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Democrats are sponsoring it. And as a matter of fact, it was a Democrat in California that introduced the law. And so it definitely was propelled by the Democrats.
Well, if you would email me any information about who the sponsors are in the Senate, what committees it might be languishing in, we will try to keep it on our radar and alert people when it hits a critical stage.
Well, great. And Susan, I believe Susan Collins is the Senate
sponsor.
The Senate minority member.
Mm-hmm.
So. And she's a big sponsor of it, I believe.
Right, Senator from Maine. All right, we're talking with Odette Wilkins from Equal Justice Alliance. And, Odette, give us a little background on the California Animal Enterprise Protection Act. Who is the author of this bill that has already cleared the Assembly?
Yes, it was authored by, actually, it was an author, I don't remember his name, but it was introduced by Assemblyman Gene Mullen.
Okay. He's from the Bay Area, Gene Mullen. Okay. And do we know what the Senate bill number is in the California State Senate?
I don't have the Senate bill number, but I do have the Assembly number, and I think that's still what it's called. I'm not sure if it has been assigned a Senate number because the Senate just received it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Assembly Bill number 2296.
2296. Okay, and Mullen is the author. All right, well, we're very close to a break here, so we'll take the break now, and then when we come back, you can describe what this bill would do if it becomes law and why it's important to educate members of our state Senate not to just rubber stamp this. We're talking with Odette Wilkins. Again, their website, equaljusticealliance.org. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And an alert for you tomorrow, 3:30 Pacific time for an hour. The former governor of Alabama, Don Siegelman, will be my guest. Looking forward to talking with him. He is free on bail right now and claims that Karl Rove and others framed him and got him bounced as governor of Alabama. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Your calls, you can join me next with Odette Wilkins here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
In the Monterey County courts, there are 8 criminal cases for every 1 civil case. That means we need a judge who's an expert in criminal trials. Mark Hood is the only candidate who has 19 years' experience as a criminal prosecutor. He has an unmatched record for integrity, fairness, and knowledge. Mark Hood is endorsed by law enforcement, including the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli,
with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LeCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LeCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. In Sacramento, they're considering some pretty bad legislation. Many liberals, progressives, Democrats have deplored the Patriot Act and its companion bills that have rolled back the civil rights of American citizens and led to a real incursion into the presumption of innocence that we afford to any defendant in a criminal proceeding. Odette Wilkins is with us, executive director of the Equal Justice Alliance. And as she tried to tell the nation, and the story became one honored by Project Censored, because the corporate media has not bothered to share it with most Americans, since 9/11, we've seen efforts to equate those who protest and also take actions up to and including those that cross the line into lawbreaking, if their motivation was based on animal rights issues, they have been demonized and turned into a separate class of but potential criminals by the legislation that we spoke of on the federal level. That is the Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act and the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. And now there is a bill in Sacramento, AB 2296, called the California Animal Enterprise Protection Act, and it sailed through the Assembly with unanimous approval, and it could go before the State Senate sometime in the near future. And Odette, tell us how this bill would limit the expression of California citizens on the Internet if the person who's a subject of some sort of exposure or attention decides that they have a fear for their safety.
That's right. The law basically, the bill says it allows an individual who's employed in an animal enterprise a private cause of action, and they are also allowed to issue a takedown demand letter, basically a demand letter against any person or organization that posts that individual's home address, telephone number, or image on the Internet. If that person feels that they have a reasonable fear for their safety or anyone residing with them.
Mm-hmm. And so let me just give you an example. If I decide on my blog to post information about somebody who works for a biotech company that also does laboratory testing on animals, and let's say my complaint is not about the animal issue, but it's about, you know, the way they conduct their research, or that I don't approve of stem cell research or something like that. Could this law be used to construe things outside of animal rights activities as being a threat to someone who is defined as part of an animal enterprise?
Well, certainly the way the law is written, that's correct. So if they find their, and if any researcher finds their home address or home telephone number or image on a website, whether it's animal rights related or not, they can, and they feel that that it makes them uncomfortable even,
mm-hmm.
that they can serve a demand letter on you and say that you need to take that down.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is basically what I would call a poison pill for anyone who wants to exercise their free speech rights on the Internet. And it's almost like a caveat emptor. If you exercise your free speech rights on the Internet, you're doing so at your own peril.
Mm-hmm.
Because once a demand letter is served on you, it basically has the imprimatur, it basically has the force of an injunction or basically a prior restraint.
Mm-hmm. And there's no accounting for whether this person is already a public figure.
Well, usually researchers don't tend to be public figures,
mm-hmm.
so it's basically it is basically focused on animal researchers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the penalties for violating the California Animal Enterprise Protection Act?
Well, the penalties are very interesting. The penalties are that there could be an injunction against posting the information, but more so there are monetary damages, which I haven't really seen this except mostly in antitrust suits.
Really?
And that is treble damages. In other words, whatever monetary damages they feel they're incurring by your posting
mm-hmm.
their information on the website, it actually says that they can be awarded three times the amount of actual damages with a minimum payment, a minimum payout of $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting that they would treble the damages as opposed to having them as straight damages.
Right. It invites some of those frivolous lawsuits that the Republicans always deplore. But some Democrats support this, too, so we have to be very concerned. AB 2296, the California Animal Enterprise Protection Act. We're going to keep an eye on this one, Odette. Stay in touch, will you?
Thank you so much.
That's Odette Wilkins at the Equal Justice Alliance here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Wake Forest University has decided not to require applicants to submit SAT or ACT scores anymore. Other colleges have dropped the standardized tests, most recently Smith College in Massachusetts. But Wake Forest becomes the first of the 30 top schools in the annual U.S. News & World Report rankings to drop the test. Their contention is that these standardized tests are not the best predictor of academic potential anyway. Director of Admissions Martha Allman says she has seen students who excelled in their academic work elsewhere after being turned down by Wake Forest because they had done poorly on the SATs. More on that after this.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Even though Jared has an incredible selection of spectacular diamond engagement rings, many Jared customers prefer to design their own. It's easy to understand why. You can select from hundreds of settings in gold or platinum at Jared, and then choose from thousands of diamonds in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Some surprising facts about Advil PM. If annoying aches and pains are keeping you up, here's something you should know. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. You'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep compared to Tylenol PM. Are you surprised? Don't be. And switch to Advil PM for a better night's sleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, has admitted fewer than 40% of the students who apply there typically. 9,000 have applied for next fall. Most of the other colleges who have dropped the SAT and ACT standardized tests typically accept most, if not all, of the students who apply anyway. It's argued by some people that the exams are too stressful and keep some students from showing their real potential. Others, including Smith, which has a reputation for enrolling low-income students, says the decision was prompted by a correlation between test performance and race and household income. Alana Klein, a spokeswoman for the College Board, which owns the SAT, says there is not a trend these days towards schools doing away with the standardized test. She says smaller schools are opting not to weigh SAT or ACT scores because they take a more holistic approach to admissions, not because of concerns, as some critics contend, that minority and low-income students are at a disadvantage. Larger universities, including the University of Wisconsin at Madison, will continue to use standardized tests. The director of admissions there, Rob Zeltzer, says they make a difference in predicting academic success, and there's been no discussion about making them optional. The Osgood File. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Socolo is the place to go. Socolo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Socolo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Socolo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
All we want is a candidate
who can win in 2008
and carry one red state. Oh, to get the White House back.
Give the right wing a heart attack.
A gay?
A Jew?
A black?
Oh, couldn't it be Hillary? You know, women would all support me. I'd be hard to beat.
and men love her just because her spouse is allowed to cheat.
You're not someone the South will back.
We need morals, we're way off track. Who's got just what I lack? Oh, vote for Dr. Phil and me.
That's the Capitol Steps. And that song was written sometime around 04 or 05. So for them to predict that a woman and a black man would be in the presidential race, pretty prescient for the Stepsters. They, of course, are a satire group from Washington, and almost all of them worked on Capitol Hill at one time or another. Joining me to talk about the ups and downs of the Clinton campaign and the allegations of sexism and misogyny is Betsy Reed, executive editor of The Nation magazine. Betsy, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I thought I'd met almost everyone at The Nation. So thanks for joining us. I've been a subscriber for 30-plus years, and I always look forward to its arrival in my mailbox. And in between, I sneak peeks at the website.
Oh, great.
So since you published this article, it's in the May 19th issue of The Nation called Race to the Bottom. It's gotten even more complicated because of the remarks that Senator Clinton made before the Argus of South Dakota that ricocheted around that World Wide Web faster than you can say macaca.
And it's true, yeah.
It really did take on a life of its own. And let me just be candid, Betsy. I am an Obama supporter, and I have a lot of respect for Senator Clinton, but she was never my first choice in this campaign. And I respect that she's run a strong second after being the nominee that everyone thought was just going to be automatic. At the same time, I've been very uncomfortable with the sense of victimization that many women have projected about the way the campaign has occurred. And I say that without denying that there have been sexist remarks, that she has been subjected to types of ridicule that the men on that stage, when there were nine of them, never had to confront. And so I don't dismiss that there is sexism out there and that she has had to deal with it in this campaign. But my bottom line right now is the Clintons are trying to use this as a way to distract people into giving her the nomination by bending the rules of the Democratic Party. And so I want to get into that in a little bit. But tell me what your thoughts were when you first heard the remarks about how her husband didn't sew up the nomination until June, and that we all remember that Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in June before the nomination had been decided in 1968. Harmless comment, or, you know, do the Obama supporters have a point that it was tacky, tasteless, and really poor judgment to say that?
Well, I think personally, everyone agrees that it was poor judgment. And you know, I mean, of course, I was shocked when I first heard it. I do think that when you view the larger context of the comment, that you can see that it is part of this whole storyline, which, you know, you just described, that, you know, really is about her sense of victimization. And really what somebody called self-pity, which I think is unfortunately accurate at this point, you know, she is really feels aggrieved about the way she's been treated, and it's leading her into some really, you know, some dark places.
Well, and you know, I'm empathetic because I don't feel that she was sending a coded message that she hopes Obama gets assassinated. I think she was reaching for an example of the unexpected that can occur during a campaign, particularly one that has gone on this long. That said, it appears to be some kind of karmic payback for the way she pounded on elitism and bitterness in the recordings of Senator Obama that ricocheted around the web just about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, I also think that the reason this has become such an enormous controversy is partly because her campaign is really, like, you know, it's on the ropes now. You know, like, she's really, you know, you mentioned, you know, I published that piece called Race to the Bottom almost a month ago now, and I didn't anticipate that it would get as low as it's gotten, you know, mm-hmm. but it promptly just descended. I mean, actually, you know, my article was partly about her use of race and in sort of coded ways, how she had attacked Obama. The whole sort of questioning of his patriotism is inflected with, you know, racial overtones. But, you know, after my piece came out, she made that statement about how she was the candidate that had the support of hardworking Americans, white Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So that really kind of stated it quite baldly. And, you know, I think there's been a sort of desperation to her campaign in recent weeks, and that's what you're seeing here. And I think, you know, in women, it inspires mixed emotions because, you know, whatever we might think of Hillary Clinton, the politician, the candidate, seeing her the first, you know, viable presidential candidate that's a woman, seeing her, you know, sink to these levels and also be attacked in the way she has, it does, you know, elicit a sort of, you know, a kind of sympathy. And I guess a sense of identification.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that, and I don't oppose people who make their choice based on identity politics. My mom's going to be 85, and she doesn't want to hear about Obama or anybody else. She wants to see a woman in the White House before she moves on, and so she's made up her mind about that, and nothing really will shake it. Personally, I've had deep problems with Senator Clinton's issues over the past month or so, the pandering on the summer gas tax holiday, and the reckless commentary about Iran. And those speak volumes to me that are much more important than gender or race of a candidate, because they speak to what that person would do if we elected, in this case, her.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that a lot of feminists who define their politics, you know, relatively broadly and are progressive feminists recognize that. I mean, she actually hasn't had the support of feminists who are sort of more on the left from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole group of 1,500 prominent progressive feminists who signed a letter, you know, declaring their support for Obama. So, you know, I mean, I think anyone who's concerned, you know, feminists are concerned about issues of war. And she has been the candidate who has been consistently more hawkish, and not only more hawkish, but kind of more macho and militaristic in her rhetoric, more nationalistic.
Well, it's like she took a cue from Mitt, I want a double Gitmo Romney, when asked a question about a possible nuclear attack by Iran. She reached for language that I found troubling and reckless. And she also invoked the beauty of the Cold War, of mutually assured destruction, that she said, well, you know, that worked. Frankly, I find that kind of brinksmanship to be, you know, quite problematic. And for her to invoke it in that way just really left me chilled, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt the same way. Now, at the same time, though, going back to the whole controversy over the RFK statement, which, you know, I wouldn't, you know, defend or excuse in any way, I still think that it is remarkable. I mean, the context being that, you know, she's talking about how people have urged her to get out of this race ever since Iowa. And it is remarkable, given what's gone on over the last few months, that after Iowa, people were calling on her to quit. Because, I mean, she really actually has waged a very vigorous campaign since then. You know, I mean, of course, she turned around and won New Hampshire. And it's been a really hard-fought race ever since then. So, I mean, there is this sort of, like, mindless mainstream media fixation on momentum that has basically declared whatever candidate won the primary that day, you know, the front runner, because they sort of just this desire to sort of, it's a horse race nature of the coverage has worked to her detriment.
There are also progressive Democrats who felt that her increasingly conservative and the attacks with the racial undertones were damaging the prospects for a Democratic victory in the fall. So some of the calls by people for the Clinton campaign to roll it up, wrap it up, were not so much aimed at her, but aimed at trying to preserve a position for the party to win in the fall, and not see the primary bloody up the nominee to the point where we all lose.
I agree, but I think that those kinds of calls on her only began to, you know, sort of build maybe in, you know, March,
right,
after, you know, after things, you know, really became, after it became very clear that Obama, the electoral math was in his favor, and also as Hillary Clinton's campaign, you know, started to play the race card.
Mm-hmm.
I think you definitely started to hear people say that, and I think that there was, you know, every reason for people to be making those arguments that had nothing to do with sexism.
Right.
So I do think, you know, the raising of the specter of sexism, while I do think that it's definitely played a role in this campaign, it's also been misused. That charge has been misused.
I agree on
by
both
Hillary Clinton and her supporters.
I agree on both counts. Betsy Reed with us, executive editor of The Nation. And you can read the column that she wrote. It's a lengthy commentary, Race to the Bottom, at thenation.com. Now, Betsy, let me ask you to comment on this. There have now been two full-page ads published in the past week in the New York Times attributed to Women Count PAC. And the first one was entitled Not So Fast. Hillary's voice is our voice. She's speaking for all of us. We are the women of this nation, the ad reads. Now, it doesn't name one woman who funded it or signed it, and it turns out to come from a group that is directly or indirectly related to Susie Buell, who was a founder of Esprit and a staunch Clinton supporter, and she has somehow organized this Women Count PAC. Now, in Monday's New York Times, they had another full-page ad, and they were talking about how women want every vote in Florida counted. Now, this crosses a line for me, because the idea of women supporting Hillary and saying don't push her out, I think is fine. But now to say that women and feminists support the proposition that the Clintons have put forward, that we need to count the votes in Florida that were conducted under a boycott by the Democratic National Committee, and you know, Barack Obama and others did not campaign in that state, I think that they're trying to twist, you know, women's support for a female candidate into a very narrow political issue here at the end game that, frankly, I find insulting.
I agree with you, and I would also add that organization has gone so far as to make a statement that if Hillary Clinton is not the nominee of the Democratic Party, they will not support the Democratic nominee. So they essentially have said that either it's Hillary or they will work, you know, either directly for McCain or just sit it out. And that, I think, it's the sort of apotheosis of the, you know, everybody's worst fears about what's going on with this primary. I would say that I would hesitate to kind of, you know, invest too much significance in that organization, which, you know, as you note, is funded by this one wealthy person. And I haven't seen that much evidence that women en masse are going to, you know, abandon the Democrats because of what's happened to Hillary. I mean, I know there's some polls suggesting that some of her female supporters, you know, won't turn out for Obama, but
mm-hmm.
I'm kind of more hopeful on that front.
Me too. I think
that if she really, you know, campaigns for him, if she really, you know, puts her heart into it and can campaign for him hard, I think, you know, there are issues of choice. There are, like, very, very clear differences
mm-hmm.
on women's issues between John McCain and Barack Obama, and I hope that women will recognize that.
I agree with you. I think that people feel very passionate right now, but by November, with two clear choices, I only think that 3-5% of Hillary's primary supporters would actually sit out, and a smaller group might vote for McCain or a third-party candidate. We're going to take a break and return with Betsy Reed. She's executive editor of The Nation. If you have a comment about the Hillary Clinton campaign, I'd like to hear from you. And some of you Hillary supporters who've gone quiet on me, call in. Let me know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B. Agree or disagree, it's fine. 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, this is Stephanie Miller. You're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. What a concept. AM 540 KRXA.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you?
Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host irons his own shirts.
Pink ribbon off my eyes. I'm exposed, and it's no big surprise. Don't you think I know exactly where I am? This world is forcing me to hold your hand. Cause I'm just a girl, but they don't know me. Well, don't let me out of your sight. Oh, I'm just a girl, already at the tea. No, don't let me have any right.
We continue our conversation with Betsy Reed, executive editor of The Nation magazine. Read her commentary at thenation.com. It's entitled Race to the Bottom, a critique of the Clinton campaign from a feminist perspective. And Jake joins us from Eureka. Thanks for calling, Jake. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter B. Yeah, I'd like to comment on Hillary Clinton's assassination comments. You know, when she said it, she used the same excuse she did with the Bosnian sniper fire comments, you know, saying she was tired, was a mistake, except just like those same comments, she's been found to have made these comments several times in the past to different reporters, and it clearly seems to be a talking point, at least part of the Clinton campaign's considerations that something may happen to Obama. And I think it's just the height of irresponsibility that she would bring out this issue of assassination when we have the first potential black president about to be nominated by the Democratic Party.
Well, it is more than a casual remark, because you're correct. She has said it before. And, Betsy, do you believe that this is a coded commentary? Certainly not inviting someone to assassinate Senator Obama, but playing on the generalized fears that are out there in the population and that have been spoken to by the candidate and his wife.
Well, I don't know. I guess I would doubt that it was that on a conscious level, at least. And but I would say that, you know, the caller was right that it was the height of insensitivity. And I think in that way, it does reveal something about, you know, just sort of her mindset and the fact that, you know, she's not attuned to in any way to the concerns of black voters in this election. You know, I mean, for quite some time, her entire electoral strategy has been about appealing to, you know, largely a white working class electorate. And I think, you know, had she been kind of thinking more and talking more to African Americans, she might have been more sensitive about that.
Mm-hmm. Jake?
Oh, I definitely agree. I think it is a shame that where she used to have very high support amongst African Americans, you know, just back before, you know, Iowa, but after, you know, what happened in South Carolina and the race baiting there, you know, Obama's winning 9 out of 10 black votes now.
All right, Jake, thank you very much. Now to Richard in Fortuna. Thanks for calling, Richard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Betsy Reed from The Nation.
Well, hi, Betsy, and thank you, Peter. I have to agree with you as far as the votes in Florida go. I don't think those should be counted. And I wanted to ask, there was a gal on Fox News that was being interviewed, and she was kind of saying how Obama, but she kept saying Osama, Osama, and then at last she said Obama, and then she said, well, they should both be shot.
And that's Liz Trotta is person who made those remarks.
That was good.
Well, and it really does show the way that, you know, the media has, whatever standards we used to have been lowered sharply. David Schuster's remark about how the Clinton campaign was pimping out Chelsea. I mean, this locker room language and kind of, you know, as I've said before, white guys trying to talk street hip language, hip hop language. It really doesn't have much place in a presidential campaign, but we're kind of stuck with it. Richard? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that I think that we don't get a do-over in Florida, and that Hillary went down there, you know, against the Democratic committee because it was being boycotted. So I think, therefore, the vote shouldn't count.
Well, and it's part of this strategy that can only be described as desperation, because as Speaker Pelosi said on the NewsHour last week, this is all based on who wins the most pledged delegates. And so this whole distraction about Florida and to some extent Michigan, I think is a non-issue, because it won't change the delegate distribution in a way that would put the Clintons over the top. And she's trying to claim that, you know, she should be named the nominee because she won the most popular votes, but those require two critical asterisks, Betsy.
Well, I mean, I think it's really, I can't imagine that she actually thinks that she's going to prevail in this, you know, the next sort of, you know, stage of the discussion about Michigan and Florida. I mean, maybe, you know, they have some end game that we're all not aware of, but it seems pretty clear, you know, most people recognize that the DNC made a call about Michigan and Florida, and it would be a real abdication of their, you know, role and responsibility to reverse that at this stage, you know. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I think that in some way it might be, you know, they have to have some rationale for a candidacy, right? I mean, they go on all these chat shows, and you hear her representatives talking about, and so they have to figure out a way to convince people that she could actually win, and so therefore this is one of their arguments,
Betsy, I
don't think it's going anywhere.
I just have about 30 seconds remaining. Your net bottom line, has the Hillary Clinton candidacy been a benefit for women in general this year?
Yeah. That's a very hard one, because I think, you know, there is something to be said, like, she, you know, she had, just having had a woman run a campaign for president like this, it was taken seriously. I think there's some advantages to that, but I think it will leave a sour taste in some ways, I'm afraid.
All right. Nice to meet you, Betsy. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Betsy Reed, executive editor of The Nation. You can hear a podcast and share it with a friend. Go to the homepage at peterbcollins.com. The link is right there for you.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader. From Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor, you name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at thekingofamerica.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Consumer confidence falls to a 16-year low.
Consumer psyche is shell-shocked.
Finally, childhood obesity rates leveling.
This is over an 8-year period, and we haven't seen an increase, and that's good news.
I'm Barry Bagnato in Washington.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Though stimulus checks have done little, if anything, to pierce America's economic gloom, the Conference Board says its Consumer Confidence Index fell this month to its lowest level since October 1992. Analyst Bert Flickinger says most of the stimulus money is going to pay for gasoline and groceries. He's forecasting one of the worst recessions in retailing in 75 years.
Consumers are not shopping at the mall, or if they do shop, they're browsing, not buying, and if they do buying, they're only buying the bargains.
There are bargains in real estate. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says home prices nationwide fell 14% in the first quarter.
We are seeing an acceleration in the decline in housing prices, and we do not see a bottom yet. A lot of analysts seem to think this is going to drag on well into next year, and we won't even actually see recovery probably until the year after that.
The only encouraging sign is that in some of the hardest hit markets, sales have started to pick up, and the Commerce Department says new home sales jumped 3.3% in April. The price of crude oil dropped nearly $4 to $128.60 a barrel, but gasoline prices keep rising. The Energy Department says the national average for regular is up 15 cents in the past week to just under $4 a gallon. Now this.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Some surprising facts about Advil PM. If annoying aches and pains are keeping you up, here's something you should know. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. You'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep compared to Tylenol PM. Are you surprised? Don't be. And switch to Advil PM for a better night's sleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
For years, health experts have been sounding an alarm about the obesity epidemic among America's children. Now there's some evidence that they're being heard. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Brian Gordon gained a lot of weight in middle school. Then mom and dad cracked down.
My parents just, like, they got me into soccer and baseball and wrestling and things like that.
Whether it's more attention at home or leaner meals at school, childhood obesity rates leveled off between 1999 and 2006 after years and years of increases.
This was true for boys and for girls, whites, for African Americans, for Mexican Americans.
CDC researcher Cynthia Ogden, lead author of this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, cautions this is just a start. Too many American kids, she says, are still too fat. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The National Weather Service says the tornado that demolished half of Parkersburg, Iowa on Sunday was an EF5, the highest classification, with winds exceeding 200 miles per hour. 7 people were killed. Only 5 months into the year, 2008 is already the deadliest tornado year in a decade. Twisters have killed at least 110 people in the United States. John McCain, speaking today at the University of Denver, called for a new round of cuts in nuclear arsenals.
I believe we should reduce our nuclear forces to the lowest level we judge necessary, and we should be prepared to enter into a new arms control agreement with Russia, reflecting the nuclear reductions that I'll seek.
McCain also proposed talks with China on a temporary halt to production of weapons-grade nuclear material. Barack Obama is campaigning in the West, focusing more of his fire on McCain than on Hillary Clinton.
On issue after issue, John McCain is offering more of the same policies that have failed for the last 8 years. That's the agenda that he and the president are raising money to support later today.
I'm Mark Knoller in Phoenix. Not one of the three fundraisers President Bush is doing for John McCain today and tomorrow is open to press coverage, but the White House is not troubled by it. Press Secretary Dana Perino says McCain is the candidate, President Bush supports him, and will do whatever McCain wants.
Pentagon records show the number of troops diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder jumped by more than 50% in 2007, the most violent year so far in Iraq and Afghanistan. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Ever seen the way a squirrel hoards acorns? Well, that's how I am with Travel Rewards, especially now that I'm getting 1,000 Choice Privileges bonus points every time I stay at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn hotels. Just book at choicehotels.com, then start loading up on your reward points. Best of all, you don't even need stretchy cheeks. Visit choicehotels.com to book your stay with Econo Lodge or Roadway Inn and start hoarding away.
Members earn bonus points when paying qualifying rates. Reservations must be made at choicehotels.com with arrival between 6-1 and 8-14-08. For details, visit choicehotels.com.
So you're in the market for a good used car but have no idea where to look. Well, I can take the angst out of your auto search. Honda Certified Used Cars. First, it's a Honda. They kind of corner the market on reliability. Second, they're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda Certified Used Cars. The next best thing to new. And then some.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Oil companies to American consumers. Give me your money, please. I haven't heard the please. Later this hour, Jason Leopold, investigative journalist, joins us. There is a new character surfacing in the firing of U.S. Attorney David Iglesias in New Mexico. Jason's got the details about a half hour away. Right now, I'm joined by founder and executive director of Amazon Watch, Atossa Soltani. Atossa, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be on.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and let me thank you for your work, because you are trying to draw attention to the human rights abuses that occur in nations where Chevron does a great deal of business, extracts a lot of oil, and we're going to talk about some of those fronts. And you are going to bring attention to the annual meeting that Chevron, Texaco, Unocal, or whatever their name is now, is holding in the San Francisco Bay Area this week on Wednesday. What message do you want to communicate at the annual meeting and to the shareholders and consumers at large?
Well, basically, we believe that Chevron has a systematic problem around the world, a systemic problem where now in Asia, Africa, Latin America, they're facing human rights, cases of human rights abuses and environmental devastation. We believe this is a corporate governance issue. We believe that at the core of these problems around the world, whether it's the toxic dumping in Ecuador, or rape, torture, and murder, and forced labor in Burma, We believe that it's the core of these problems are Chevron's attitude and their value system, which is completely sort of out of line with modern values of global business, and their blatant disregard for human rights and their, you know, lack of environmental sustainability. And so our message is that not only is Chevron out of step with these values, but that the cases that are currently, the legal cases that are currently before Chevron, including potentially billions of dollars in liability for cleanup in Ecuador, as I mentioned, the case in Nigeria over killings that Chevron assisted the military, Nigerian military, carry out, and also human rights violations of Burma, that these cases are ultimately financial and legal liabilities for shareholders and represent a corporate governance issue.
Now, do you own some shares, and will you be able to speak at the annual shareholders meeting?
We don't directly own shares, but we are working with a coalition of religious and socially responsible institutional shareholders who have designated our delegation, designated proxies to our delegation, allowing leaders from affected communities in Ecuador, Nigeria, and also Burma to attend the annual meeting. And we're going to be basically having, each of us will have a few minutes to directly bring our concerns and to ask questions, questioning the CEO and the board of directors.
Now, I've never been to one of these meetings. I've only seen, you know, brief footage on television. What will happen? Will you be recognized and be given a period of time to speak? And then do the board members and others just kind of doodle and look at the wall and attempt to ignore you? Or do they actually pay attention when you make a statement in one of these meetings?
You know, I think that most of the debate happens between the leaders from not only the affected communities, but there are also religious and institutional shareholders. For example, the City of New York Public Pension Fund is actually going to be one of the people who's filed a resolution at tomorrow's annual meeting that's basically questioning how Chevron handles its environmental responsibility with not having a global environmental standards. And so these are not only affected communities, but also responsible and large institutional shareholders. In fact, the New York Pension Fund has over 500 million in shares. So and there are really some heavy hitters as well who are questioning the senior management and the board of directors. So, yeah, most of the meeting will be a debate between the speakers as well and the CEO, David O'Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
And David O'Reilly is likely to, you know, appear to be concerned and say that you know, he feels for the people who are suffering, but really this is not the CEO, this is not Chevron's problem. The board of directors, you know, are sort of the you know, witnessing this debate. It is our hope that they recognize that we're not just talking about the problems that are tarnishing Chevron's brand name and image. We're talking about problems that the company faces in terms of both legal and financial liability to the tune of billions of dollars. Just to give you a flavor, in Ecuador, there's a lawsuit that's been going on over the fact that Chevron operated for 20 years. It dumped over 18 billion gallons of toxic wastewater and 16 million gallons of crude waste in oil spills, and then left over 1,000 unremediated waste pits and left the region, and now claims it's the Ecuadorian government's problem and the petroleum company, the state oil company there. But this lawsuit has been going on, and even Chevron's own samples have shown that this company bears responsibility. In fact, there was a special court-appointed expert that has reviewed all of the test results from both the plaintiffs and Chevron's and came out with this is a special master's report. It's a court-appointed expert's report that says that actually Chevron is responsible, and in fact cleanup could amount to between $7 and $16 billion. And this is a huge price tag that finally is the responsibility of not only the CEO and the senior management and the employees, but also the board of directors to really and shareholders to recognize that this is a huge financial liability that the company faces in Ecuador.
We're talking with Atossa Soltani, founder and executive director of Amazon Watch. Their website, simple Amazon. See, and now I can't pronounce it. I said it's simple. AmazonWatch.org. That's AmazonWatch.org. Now, Atossa, I'm glad you brought up Ecuador, because it was just a month or 6 weeks ago that Luis Yanza was awarded the Goldman Environmental Prize, along with others who worked with him, to force Chevron to honor its responsibilities there in Ecuador. And it certainly is a fairly complex set of issues. But what I found breathtaking was when David O'Reilly launched a media offensive with some full-page ads, and then the San Francisco Chronicle gave him a lengthy interview where they published his comments, apparently unedited. And O'Reilly tries to make the case that, gosh, they just go in with as light a footprint as possible. They don't get involved in domestic politics. They're just there for the oil and to give jobs to people. And he offered a pretty rosy spin on Chevron's footprint around the world and what he considers to be a very light set of responsibilities they have to the nations that they extract these raw materials from.
Yeah, Chevron's the second largest oil company in the United States, and you could expect with the billions that they made last year, over $23 billion in profits, and that, you know, they have a pretty strong PR machine, and they're willing to spin whatever it takes to negate their responsibility and try to create doubt in people's minds. And that's exactly what Chevron did last month when they decided to attack the Goldman Prize winner and Richard and Rhoda Goldman family that awards the award. Mm-hmm. And, you know, caused a backlash. I think no one in the Bay Area that I spoke to really believed Chevron's lies. In fact, Chevron arrived in, back then it was Texaco, they arrived in the Ecuadorian Amazon. They were the first company to find oil and drill for oil. They designed a system that was designed to pollute on a daily basis. For every barrel of oil that was produced, somewhere between 8 and 10 barrels of toxic wastewater was produced, and those waters of formation were released directly into the rivers and streams, where the standard practice and the law most other places in the world, including the United States, was that those waters be reinjected. But Chevron decided, you know, back then to save some money, about $3 a barrel, by not installing a reinjection system. So once they turned over the system to the Ecuadorian government 20 years later, and they now claim that, you know, the pollution that's happened is the Ecuadorian government's fault, where in fact they designed the system. And in fact, they drilled most of the wells. They dug most of those pits that are left with toxic waste crude in them. And there's, as I said, over 1,000 toxic waste pits that Chevron drilled and did not properly remediate when they left.
And are they still drilling in Ecuador, or has Chevron Texaco pulled out?
Chevron basically turned over the operation 20 years ago. After 20 years, they turned it over in 1992 to the Ecuadorian government.
Okay.
And so we do hold the Ecuadorian government responsible for any damages that they have caused, any spills that they haven't cleaned up. This is not to say that the government of Ecuador doesn't bear responsibility for the spills that it has caused, but certainly we can't hold the government of Ecuador responsible for neither the design flaws nor the spills and waste pits that Chevron dug and then left in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the unfortunate thing here, and this is something that, breaks my heart to see, is the people who are suffering in this region. We're talking about 5 tribes, 30,000 individuals, 80 villages, where people on a daily basis, in order to survive, they're poisoning themselves every day by bathing in polluted water. There's no plumbing in this part of the Amazon. We're talking about open sources of water and groundwater. People live off the rivers and streams. They fish. They use the water for irrigating their crops. Everything's contaminated. An area the size of Rhode Island is contaminated. And these communities are, you know, basically suffering high rates of cancer, skin disease. We have here with us in San Francisco this week a woman, Mercedes Jaramillo. She is one of the people who actually went and lived, built her home on top of one of the waste pits that Chevron claimed to have remediated. And really all they did is bury it with dirt and told people it was safe and clean. And a number of families went and lived and put their homes there, and now they're sick.
We're going to take a break and return with Atossa Soltani. She and her colleagues at Amazon Watch will be attending the Chevron annual meeting in the Bay Area on Wednesday. If you have a question or a comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Mark Hood for Judge is endorsed by the Monterey County Deputy Sheriff's Association, the Peace Officers Research Association of the Central Coast, and the union representing court employees. Mark Hood is the only candidate for judge who has 19 years' experience with major criminal prosecutions, plus significant civil experience with a leading firm. Tough on violent crime, smart on prevention. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. With 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Good afternoon. We'll start you off with a crash in Greenfield. Central Avenue at Lago Marcino Avenue. Vehicle off the roadway and collided with a tree. CHP is on the way to check up on any injuries there. For Watsonville, southbound 1 at 152, an injury crash. Car and a big rig involved. It looks like we have activity on the center divide as well as off to the right-hand shoulder, so be prepared for heavy traffic as you approach the scene. Salinas, south 101 at John Street. Vehicle flipped onto its roof, onto the shoulder. Looks like emergency crews on the scene. We had a couple people flee the area, so you're going to see lots of police out there doing an investigation. For the Summit Fire, looks like it's pretty much contained at this point. They're saying they're going to wrap that up by this evening. Lots of roadways reopening, some only to residents out there, so check with your local authorities on that. This is brought to you by Garmin. With a Garmin Nuvi, you'll know where you are, and with turn-by-turn spoken directions, you'll know where you're going. As you navigate life, follow the leader, get a Garmin. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Anxiety would bring me down. I'm tired of listening to you talking around.
That's Talk Talk from Talk Talk. It's about talk, 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 talk. Tosa Soltani is with us. She's founder and executive director of Amazon Watch. And here in the Bay Area, Wednesday is the date for Chevron Corporation's annual meeting. And my objection here, Atosa, pales in comparison to the human rights issues you're fighting. But if somebody would politely mention that we're tired of the greenwashing ads on television, particularly I watch the News Hour on PBS, mm-hmm. and I have to fast forward through that bunk every night. And, you know, they're touting their work on renewable and alternative fuels. And my bet is that they're spending more on the advertising that brags about that than on the actual R&D that underlies it. I'm just speculating there, but is there any truth to that?
It's no doubt that Chevron's annual advertising budget must be in the hundreds of millions, and that really they have taken seriously greenwashing. In fact, when you look at Chevron's website and ad campaign, you would think that we're talking about a totally different company. But just for some comic relief here, I want to invite your listeners to visit AmazonWatch.org, and on the homepage there's a two-minute animation by famous political cartoonist Mark Fiore.
Oh, I love Mark.
And it's basically Chevron has an ad campaign called Chevron's Human Energy,
mm-hmm.
and this is Chevron's Inhumane Energy. You know, brought to you by Mark Fiore and Amazon Watch, which is quite hilarious take
right.
on those ads that you're talking about the power of, you know, human energy. In fact, we're talking about toxic waste, killings mm-hmm. in Burma, in Nigeria, and destruction in Ecuador.
That's on the homepage at AmazonWatch.org. Now, Tosa, I wanted to talk about Burma here for a moment. It's been in the news a lot because of the cyclone, the Nargis, that blew through there, and as many as 100,000 people may have died.
That's right. What
is your sense about the role that Chevron plays in supporting the military dictatorship there in Myanmar?
Well, Chevron is a direct partner in a natural gas project with the military regime, and that has been, you know, it's a pipeline project called the Yandana Pipeline, and it has been universally condemned for human rights violation. You know, Chevron's basically a part owner, and this is the single largest source of income to the military junta annually. Actually, up to date, it's been generated $1 billion per year for the military junta. And it's very clear that there was a lawsuit that actually was filed by Earthrights because Chevron's security forces for Chevron's pipeline were committing acts of violence against local populations. And these are the military junta providing security for Chevron and then basically going to require forced labor by local villagers. And really, there's been rape, torture, and many incidences that have shown that Chevron had a role. Chevron basically had their security forces directly had a role in basically slave labor to build the pipeline and mm-hmm. many other things.
Yeah. Now, Atosa, in your materials, you include Nigeria, Burma, Ecuador, and Richmond, California. I drove through Richmond earlier today, past the Chevron facilities there and the piers that they have where the big oil tankers pull up and discharge their crude.
That's right.
Describe what you see as the environmental crimes that occur right here in the United States.
In fact, you know, Chevron is the largest single polluter in California in terms of air pollution. And right here in our own backyard in Richmond, there's 35,000 families that live in the shadow of Chevron's refinery, which basically spews 3 million pounds of contaminants or has spewed 3 million pounds of contaminants during the last 3 years. And this is now a big topic in the local area because Chevron's currently requesting permission from regulatory agencies to expand the refinery in order so that it can process dirtier crude. Well, dirtier crude goes into that refinery, dirtier air comes out of that refinery.
Yeah.
It's a very simple formula, and the people in Richmond are very concerned about the public health problems in their communities, which suffer some of the highest rates of, you know, different rates of cancer and other kinds of diseases related with contaminants. And for that reason, that community is mobilizing to stop the expansion of the refinery.
All right. Well, Atosa, thank you very much for joining us, and I appreciate the work that you and your colleagues are doing at Amazon Watch.
Thank you. much.
Good to talk with you.
Thanks again.
And again, the website, amazonwatch.org. Investigative reporter Jason Leopold next. A new development in the New Mexico U.S. attorney firing.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We get the message. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The clues were subtle at first. The little boxed rations for $5, then the luggage charges, and now round-trip airfares jumping by $60. We are being told not to fly so much. This comes on the heels of the other subtle message we've been getting, which is not to drive so much. And I think this time, Americans are going to listen. Because finally, the message is coming from a messenger that we all accept. You see, until now, the message was coming from sanctimonious climate worshippers whose holy symbol was some mysterious footprint nobody's seen. But they were all just nuts. You could blow them off with comments like, how come you hybrid-loving commies don't trust the free market like normal people? You know, stuff like that. Well, finally, the free market is speaking exactly as we asked it to. When the wackos warned us cheap fuel wouldn't last forever, we knew they were crazy. Why else would they be called wackos? But now, it's the free market that wants $15 for your first bag and $60 more for a round trip and $100 a week to fill up the car. It's the free market that's telling us to ride a bicycle uphill in the rain and wait 20 or 30 minutes for a bus and drive a stupid-looking car. It's the free market telling us we are free to fly less, to drive less, and to stay home more. And because that message is a message based on freedom, not some trumped-up sense of guilt, we are not only ready to obey, we are deliriously happy about it. Well, delirious, anyway. I'm guessing the happy part comes later. Now this.
So you got an adjustable rate mortgage, and now the rate is about to adjust higher. What do you do?
Here's a smart borrower tip, courtesy of the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com.
First, consider how long you plan to stay in your home. If you're planning to stay at least 3 years, refinancing may be worth it. But if you plan to move in less than 2 years, any savings may not cover the cost of refinancing.
For more information and objective advice on lending, visit the Smart Borrower Center at LendingTree.com/smartborrower today or call 1-800-555-TREE for information and licensing.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we'd like to personally invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Try one of our signature pizzas or calzones, such as Jamaican Me Crazy or Wild Mushroom Dreams.
We also offer sandwiches, salads, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's ice cream.
Located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina. We have been recognized by Monterey County food critics Mike Hill and Melissa Snyder as locals' favorite, best for families, and much more.
Call 582-9149 or visit our website at apizzaparadise.net.
It's A Pizza Paradise, where your pizzas are bigger, better, and bolder.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, it was nearly summer, sad and you
continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And in the Gospel according to Tom Petty, even the losers will love you sometime. Come on, Tom, get to the chorus, will you? I mean, those heartbreakers think we got all day. Jason Leopold returns to our program on schedule today. It's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Peter. It does feel like a Monday. I was thinking about it earlier.
Yeah, it does. Only the banks are open, so checks can bounce.
And yeah. That's right.
And the mail will be delivered in so many
and
cases.
And gasoline will continue to skyrocket.
Ouch. Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. I want to direct people to your new website, pubrecord.org. That's short for The Public Record. It's an exciting new nonprofit website that Jason and friends have put together.
And if I can just say that we're having a fun drive right now, and you know, things have really taken off over at The Public Record, and you know, we're producing new content every day. It's keeping us quite busy, so we're trying to raise those funds so we can continue to do that.
Well, I want all of my wealthy listeners, and I know you're all listening right now, to go to pubrecord.org, and the donate button is right there on the homepage under the rotating photos of Valerie Wilson and also David Iglesias.
He's right
up there in rotation. And you also have a picture of a redhead from New Mexico, Sheriff Darren White of Bernalillo County.
Right.
And this gets very interesting because he wants to be the next Republican congressperson from New Mexico. There's musical chairs underway because Senator Pete Domenici has been there for aeons, and he is retiring, got some health issues. Heather Wilson, a former Air Force officer who's been in Congress for a number of terms, is trying to pick up the Senate seat, and that creates this vacancy. And up steps the sheriff, Darren White. And it turns out that he may have had a role in the episode that led to the firing of David Iglesias.
That's right. In fact, let me just add that President Bush was in Albuquerque today raising money for Darren White. And, you know, he is an individual who's probably not known outside of that community in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But he has very, very strong ties to the White House. And, in fact, he was the Bush-Cheney campaign chairman in 2004 during the reelection.
Mm-hmm.
But he is actually someone who I actually have been talking to David Iglesias about him for quite some time. And, you know, David Iglesias told me that, you know, there have been rumblings that there were three people who went to Washington to try and basically push him out as U.S. attorney, going to the Justice Department and speaking to Alberto Gonzalez's former chief of staff, Kyle Sampson, claiming that David Iglesias was not pursuing what they had referred to as these widespread issues of voter fraud going on in New Mexico, as you and I both know, as well as your listeners, is virtually non-existent.
Right.
It's basically a ploy to, you know, press Democrats or suppress Democrats and minorities, or I should say minorities, from voting historically Democratic.
And let me jump in for a sec,
sure.
Because last week we talked to Wayne Slater of the Dallas Morning News about the alleged widespread voter fraud cases in the Lone Star State.
Right.
And the attorney general there brought a total of 26 cases, and all but six or eight of them were technical violations, where the right person filled out the right ballot. But then, for example, because they were in a nursing home, they gave it to a loved one or a nurse or an attendant to put in the mail.
Right.
And that was deemed a technical violation. And as I said, 18 of the 26 involved those sorts of things. And then there appeared to be about six cases where there was some attempt of someone to vote twice, to impersonate someone, to falsely register. And this is being depicted, you know, as a huge wave of cases in Texas. And Texas has a pretty big population, so only 6 cases, Jason,
right,
is a pretty small potatoes.
Well, it's amazing that it's grabbing the issue, the phrase voter fraud, those two words are grabbing headlines the way that it is right now. But just speaking about Darren White, he happened to have made these allegations that voter fraud was going on. And, he more or less pressured David Iglesias to investigate. So Iglesias, as you know, we've spoken about this, set up this task force, and he found no provable evidence that any of this was taking place. But Darren White, actually, he had gone to the registrar's office and, found that Acorn, that the group that had come under fire in Missouri,
mm-hmm,
for allegedly, registering tens of thousands of people to vote that were either non-existent or claims of fraud. But Darren White started to purge. He was working with Republican operatives in New Mexico, purging individuals from registration rolls. But the fact that Iglesias did not bring any criminal charges or file any criminal cases led Darren White to Washington, D.C. Now, again, he's the sheriff of a county of about 600,000. I have to say that I tried to find out what is it common for a sheriff to have such close ties with a presidential administration, where you could just take a trip to Washington and get in the door and say, hey, this guy stinks, we got to get him out of here.
Well, but it probably wasn't the sheriff credential. It was his role as chairman of the Bush-Cheney reelection campaign in 2004.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. And, in fact, I started to do some digging, and I spoke to some law enforcement officials there, and they said, yes, he was the guy who accompanied Mickey Barnett and Pat Rogers. Now, these two names may be familiar to you and your listeners because of their ties to Mark Thor Hearn,
mm-hmm,
the guy who was who used to run the American Center for Voting Rights, another sort of front group that was set up to, again, make these wild exaggerations about voter fraud and to ensure that people, don't get out and vote again.
And as we reported a few weeks back, Thor Hearn was quoted in the New York Times regarding Indiana's very strict photo voter ID law that was upheld by the Supreme Court. And they didn't give appropriate identification of who Thorne Hearn is and what kind of work he's been doing.
Right.
But he offered those, real happy talk reports about how this photo ID law is not going to disenfranchise anybody and it's not going to be really that big a deal.
Right.
And again,
exactly,
the Times got snookered and really didn't understand what an operator Thor Hearn is.
Right. Yeah, they absolutely just, reprinted, more or less gave him a platform to, say what he wanted to say and then just reprinted his comments.
Mm-hmm.
But Darren White, as I started speaking to various officials in New Mexico, law enforcement officials, who said, yes, he accompanied these two Mickey Barnett, a Republican lobbyist, Pat Rogers, the Republican attorney there.
And as you point out, Rogers actually ended up replacing David Iglesias when he was sacked.
He was actually, his name came up to replace Iglesias.
Oh,
never,
okay.
Took that position.
Thank you, okay.
And that was because his role, Pat Rogers' role in going to Washington and seeking his ouster started to surface. But, I started to do a little bit more digging and found that, this little-known report in the Albuquerque Journal that was published a year ago containing, Darren White's own comments about how he met personally with Kyle Sampson, Alberto Gonzalez's chief of staff, former chief of staff, who resigned and complained about Iglesias. And it turns out that he absolutely played a role in his firing. This is very, you know, all of these pieces are so interconnected that, you know, there are still some questions that remain unanswered simply because we don't have the documents that, you know, the Justice Department should be releasing. But Darren White, who is now running for a congressional seat, Heather Wilson seat, is somebody who played a major role in this in David Iglesias' ouster.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not getting the attention that it obviously deserves. And you know, that's a swing state. And as you know, that that seat that Heather Wilson has, you know, usually Republicans can count on that. But as David Iglesias obviously heads out on the on his own book tour, you know, he's certainly raising the issue. And, you know, it begs the question as to, you know, exactly what did Darren White do? And other than, you know, just speak to Kyle Sampson. So I called his campaign. They refused to comment. I called the sheriff's department, and Darren White refused to get on the phone. So, again, we have more information surfacing. Obviously, this shows that the story itself is it has not been fully told. And, you know, once again, I think that when we look at it, it really does show that all of these people, you know, perhaps not surprisingly, have a very close tie, close ties to Karl Rove. There you go.
Jason Leopold's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Read his new article at pubrecord.org. It's entitled, New Mexico Sheriff, Now GOP Congressional Candidate, Played Role in Iglesias' Firing. And, Jason, in addition to the citation you just mentioned from the Albuquerque Journal, where Sheriff White confirms that he met with Kyle Sampson, you indicate that when Barnett, Rogers, and White went to Washington, they got to meet with Monica Goodling.
Right.
And she's the one who blurted out the term vote caging at the hearing earlier this year. Or was it last year? Gosh, it's...
that was last year.
It was last year.
I know. I pretty much did the same thing.
Got to check. And so Monica Goodling met every Wednesday with Karl Rove and others in the White House, where they reviewed judicial appointments and U.S. attorney appointments. So the fact that Barnett, Rogers, and White were able to meet with Monica Goodling shows their political connections.
Exactly.
And shows that they were able to get to the ear, the proverbial ear, the figurative ear, of Monica Goodling and Karl Rove and these other people who met to evaluate and decide what moves to make with U.S. attorneys.
Right. And, you know, that's exactly right, Peter. And, in fact, you know, on a separate issue where the House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed Karl Rove to testify about Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama.
And, by the way, Don Siegelman will be on our program tomorrow at 3:30 Pacific time.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to definitely have to tune into that. But what Conyers is trying to do, in addition to discuss, you know, Don Siegelman's case, is to try and establish the politicization of the Justice Department by showing how, you know, somebody like Karl Rove was able to, you know, allegedly get in there and, you know, pressure, or perhaps apply pressure to, you know, U.S. attorneys to file charges. And this case, or this issue with David Iglesias, as well as the other U.S. attorneys, is very similar. And you have, when you have people like Darren White, who are able to, you know, meet with Monica Goodling or Pat Rogers, and they're able to meet with these various officials, that underscores the politicization of the Justice Department.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Congress has been trying to, you know, get after. And, you know, hopefully we'll see if if they get to that, if Karl Rove actually shows up.
We'll talk more with Jason Leopold in a moment. If you have a question or comment, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have a new crash for Salinas. Northbound 101 at John Street, three cars involved, but no further details. Look like CHP is still on the way to check up there. Southbound 101 right at 68, an earlier crash. We had a solo vehicle overturn onto its roof and land on the shoulder. CHP got there, and it turned out a couple of people had fled the scene, so that went off to surface streets. As they looked for those people, you may still see some activity on the southbound side of 101 right at John. Central Avenue, Lago Marcino Avenue, and Greenfield, an accident vehicle struck a tree. CHP's on the scene. The good news, no injuries to report there. And for Watsonville, southbound 1 at 152, a minor injury crash with a big rig in a car. That's still clearing up. CHP, emergency crews, tow trucks all on the scene, so look for heavy traffic as you approach the area. This is brought to you by Kaopectate. Don't let diarrhea stop you. Kaopectate stops diarrhea fast and has two key electrolytes, potassium and sodium, to help you recover fast. Stop diarrhea fast with Kaopectate. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Barack Obama for America, Barack Obama for America. His wisdom, courage, and integrity will give us peace and strong prosperity. Our people need a new direction, security and health protection. With global warming creeping up on us, a president that we can trust. Barack Obama for America. Barack Obama for America.
America needs Barack Obama. I'm Joan Hopkins, and I wrote this song. Help us play it on radio stations across the country. Go to deltawavepress.com or call me at 831-659-2086 to help America.
Cornerstone Wellness Center in Monterey specializes in reducing stress and pain naturally for you, your children, and even your pets. With eight professionals, techniques like quantum biofeedback, homeopathy, infrared and ozone steam saunas, and lymphatic drainage are used to help rid your body of toxins, which can cause disease. I'm Sheila Gale, and I've lived with chronic pain for years. Trina Hammack uses state-of-the-art quantum biofeedback and Rolf structural integration. I feel better physically and mentally. Cornerstone also offers ionic foot baths, massage, organic microcurrent facials, and the latest in body strengthening and corrective exercise specifically designed for your body so you'll start living pain-free. Tired of taking medicines? Cornerstone uses homeopathy and top-of-the-line essential oils. Finally, an alternative that really works is here for your entire family. Cornerstone Wellness Center at 1088 Cass Street in Monterey. Call 373-6204. 373-6204.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. As you heard, former Alabama Governor Don Siegelman will be our guest tomorrow for an hour, starting at 3:30. And the final portion of that conversation will be joined by Larissa Alexandrovna from RawStory.com. She deserves great credit in the six- or seven-part series now that she's published at Raw Story about the case of Don Siegelman and the links to Karl Rove and cronies. And so I'm looking forward to talking with the governor himself, who has said that he thinks that his case is a bigger scandal than Watergate. So that should be very interesting, and that's tomorrow, 3:30 to 4:30 Pacific time here on the PBC show. Jason Leopold from pubrecord.org with us, and you can read his article about the New Mexico Sheriff, Darren White, who played a role in the firing of David Iglesias. Now, Jason, you do have a picture, the official mugshot of Sheriff Darren White, up on the website.
Right.
And as an out bald man, I'm looking at him, and I suspect hair farming.
Yeah, you know, that's I was thinking the same exact thing, because that is quite a perfect haircut he has there, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, when it is woven over the crown there,
right,
and doesn't actually, you know, show any roots on the forehead,
it does look like a helmet.
That's when somebody like me says he is not a member of the Bald-Headed Men of America.
That's right.
Where we take the pledge: no rugs, no plugs, no drugs. I'm bald and I'm proud.
Yeah, it's definitely manicured well, if that's the right way to put it. You know, by the way, if I could just, since you were just talking about Don Siegelman,
yeah, go ahead,
and Karl Rove, and for what it's worth, you know, as you know, Karl Rove was on George Stephanopoulos's show on ABC News this weekend, claimed that he knew, or that he found out about the Don Siegelman prosecution from reading the newspaper.
That was his rehearsed talking point that
yeah.
he stumbled into twice.
And I just want to remind your listeners that at the height of the Valerie Plame CIA leak, Karl Rove said exactly the same exact thing. He found out about Valerie Plame from reading Robert Novak's column.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I'm sure he did read Robert Novak's column, but this certainly seems like you said, rehearsed. I mean, he actually was a source for Robert Novak. He provided Robert Novak with information. We know that is that's a factual account, and he was lying. I mean, he went back to that grand jury five times, and here he is once again using that same exact line. You know, read it in the newspaper.
Oh, come on. He didn't get indicted last time.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. or so, you know, they would have us all believe.
And so do you think that this subpoena will ever be enforced?
I have to say that, you know, if it gets to the Justice Department and it crosses Mukasey's desk, the Attorney General, no, I don't believe it will. I have to say that I can't see the reasons that they would, assert executive privilege. But, I think one thing would be abundantly clear, that if Karl Rove refuses to testify, if they don't enforce the subpoena, Karl Rove's guilty. I mean, there really would seem to be no other reason to not appear before this House committee. And it's just remarkable to me. I mean, I have to say it's remarkable that Karl Rove continues to thrive as a pundit, a columnist. And
he quibbled with Stephanopoulos. I didn't get to see the show, but I saw some excerpts, and he quibbled with Stephanopoulos over being described as an informal advisor to John McCain. Based on charts and other things that have surfaced, it appears that Karl Rove and company are more than just casual advisors
Well, in the last few seconds that we have, let me just say that Karl Rove is working once again as I believe we spoke about it, maybe not, but with Timothy Griffin,
right,
who was his protege, worked with him at the RNC. They're both working together now. If Obama is the Democratic nominee, digging up dirt on Obama, just as they did with Al Gore and John Kerry. So he is advising McCain's campaign, and McCain is using both of them to his advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... you know, if Karl Rove wants to play a game of semantics as to the specific title, that's that's just a typical game that he plays. The fact of the matter is, he is advising various people on his campaign and is in regular touch with McCain's campaign advisors.
Yeah, and you know, when he appears on Fox, where he is paid to offer his commentary, they never reference that at all.
No, and that's a a very big ethical boo-boo, if you will, you know, to not let the listeners or the audience know that, what he is saying is actually costing the network money.
Well, they've only said they're fair and balanced. They never claim to be honest.
Right.
And that's the way Karl Rove's denials work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't say that.
Right. Right. And by the way, and people eat it up, you know, because he's continuing to have the opportunity to he has that platform. And as long as he's given that platform, he's going to say whatever he wants.
Jason, thanks for joining us. Great work you got there at pubrecord.org.
Thank you so much, Peter. Take care.
My pleasure. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is on duty taking your calls today. We head into the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. Melanie Sloan will kick things off right after the news. That's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. And more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. If you're like most Americans, your house is worth a lot less now than it was at the beginning of the year. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports home prices on average fell 14% in the first quarter.
The downward slide for home prices is only picking up speed. The 14% plunge nationally was led by Las Vegas, where prices have fallen more than 25% over the past year. Miami's down more than 24%. Phoenix more than 23%. Among the 20 major cities surveyed, only Charlotte showed a meager gain, and analysts can't see a bottom yet.
I'm Dan Revive. The bright spots in the housing market are where things got very bad in the past year. Detroit, for instance, the number of homes in the city purchased so far this year, up almost 50%. The average price, down more than 50%. Cheap houses in foreclosure are selling. The same is true in Sacramento, California, according to the head of the Realtors Association there, Alan Wagner.
The pricing structure has come down quite a bit.
A typical house at the high point 3 years ago, $400,000. Now $225,000.
Rising gasoline and grocery prices are taking a toll on the American consumer's psyche. This month, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index comes in at its lowest level in 16 years. One expert on child obesity calls it the first encouraging finding. A report from federal health officials says the percentage of American kids who are overweight or obese appears to have leveled off after rising steadily for 25 years. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports the Los Angeles schools have a running program that cuts weight as it boosts academics.
Elementary school students in Los Angeles haven't seen a gym teacher in more than a decade, and the district isn't even meeting minimum state requirements for PE.
When I say skip, I want to see you guys skipping.
Regular classroom teachers try to keep kids moving, but it's an uphill battle with a third of the nation's kids overweight. That's why Alessandro Elementary joined the running program. The kids are healthier, and the bonus? Academic performance is up significantly, 23 points on standardized tests. According to several studies, cutting gym to make time for academics does not boost grades.
At Max Motors, a car dealership in Butler, Missouri, they looked around and saw the competition offering free or discounted gasoline with every purchase, so they decided to do something different.
If you buy a car from Max Motors, we give you the option of a $250 gas card or $250 toward the purchase of a handgun.
General Manager Walter Moore says they're just trying to stand out.
We were just trying to figure out a marketing scheme that would help us get six or seven more cars sold this month.
The fine print says a background check is required. On Wall Street, as oil prices fell nearly $4 today, stocks rose, the Dow up 68 points, the NASDAQ 36 points higher. This is CBS News.
At Mercedes-Benz, every certified pre-owned vehicle comes with roadside assistance and warranty coverage for up to 5 years or 100,000 miles, ensuring that every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Visit your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for details.
See dealer for complete details on warranty coverage and on-site assistance. Certified pre-owned limited warranty provides coverage for 1 year up to 100,000 total vehicle miles from the expiration date of the original 4-year 50,000-mile Mercedes-Benz new vehicle limited warranty or from the time of pre-owned purchase if the original limited warranty has expired.
Ha! Look at that!
What?
The Nuvi. This is precisely why I subscribed to MSN Direct when I bought this Garmin Nuvi 780.
What is it?
A traffic backup right there on our route.
What do we do?
We avoid it.
How?
The Nuvi simply directs us to the best alternate route, huh?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
To receive MSN Direct traffic content, you must be within its coverage area. For details, navigate to Garmin.com. Follow the leader.
They must take very long showers. Celebrities with homes in South Florida have been embarrassed by the disclosure of how much water they use. CBS News correspondent Peter King takes a look.
Singer Celine Dion used about 6.5 million gallons during the year that ended in March for her nearly 6-acre large estate in Jupiter. That's more than 250 times the average user, according to the Palm Beach Post. Tiger Woods is second with almost 4 million gallons, much of that to feed new landscaping. A Woods spokesman says that he plans to build a reverse osmosis plant that would eliminate the need for utility water. The Post also reports that some high-profile residents like golfer Greg Norman have cut back on their water use. Most people are complying with the rules. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
They need a plumber aboard the International Space Station. The toilet is malfunctioning. The three crew members are using a backup system, but a NASA spokesman says, like any home anywhere, the importance of having a working bathroom is obvious. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Wondering when it's the right time for service? Your Hummer knows. With Oil Life Monitor, OnStar Vehicle Diagnostics, and a complete service schedule in every owner's manual. And when it's time, head down the Good Wrench service lane for an oil change, tire rotation, and a Good Wrench multi-point vehicle inspection.
I can't stop thinking about it.
See your Hummer Good Wrench dealer today or log on to GoodWrench.com. Diagnostic capabilities vary by model. Visit OnStar.com for details and system limitations. Good Wrench and go. We're keeping it simple.
Some surprising facts about Advil PM. If annoying aches and pains are keeping you up, here's something you should know. Advil PM gives you a better night's sleep than Tylenol PM. You'll spend less time lying awake with annoying aches and pains and more time asleep compared to Tylenol PM. Are you surprised? Don't be, and switch to Advil PM for a better night's sleep. Use only as directed. Brands are trademarks of their respective owners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Thank God it's Friday!
Well, actually, it's Tuesday and feels like Monday.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
More elected officials get caught up in the crude dragnet. And the detective in charge of this posse joins us now, Melanie Sloan from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I was just thinking we ought to commission Art of Noise to do a special CREW version of that tune.
That'd be fun.
As you're kind of set up a dragnet there in Washington, and all kinds of critters get caught in it. We're going to talk about
a few
of them.
We don't have to do that much to catch them.
That's true. We wish it were a little harder, but they make it pretty easy for you. Melanie, I wanted to start off. We were just talking with Jason Leopold about the Karl Rove subpoena. And Governor Siegelman of Alabama, whose story is at the center of this subpoena that's been issued by John Conyers' House Judiciary Committee, is going to be on our program tomorrow. So I wanted to find out what your thoughts are about whether this subpoena will actually result in Karl Rove appearing before the House Judiciary Committee in calendar 2008.
Yeah, it won't.
Yeah.
Sad to say. Karl Rove, as one of the president's closest advisors, is clearly going to rely on executive privilege to fight the subpoena. We already have an issue going forward where Josh Bolton and Harriet Myers have been, the House has found them in contempt of Congress for failing to abide by other subpoenas issued by the House Judiciary Committee. And those subpoenas were then, the House voted on them, and they sent them over to the Justice Department for enforcement, which is the only mechanism that under which these subpoenas can work. And the Justice Department has said they won't enforce them at the advice of the White House. And now that matter is in court, and briefs are being filed next week in this case, but it's going forward, and that case alone will take a very long time. We are nowhere near that stage with the Karl Rove subpoena. Again, the Judiciary Committee would have to vote on contempt, then the full House would have to vote on contempt, then they'd have to send it over to Justice, which would have to decline to prosecute, and then they'd have to go to court. And the first case is still pending in court, and sadly, it has a conservative Republican judge who is very unlikely to order the Justice Department to enforce the contempt charge. So basically, you can hear that this is, and the legal system runs slowly, this is going to be months and months and months, and I don't see it happening.
So the only place we'll hear Karl Rove talk about this is when he gets paid on the Fox News Channel, or maybe when he gets cornered by a George Stephanopoulos.
Yeah, or when he writes his own tell-all book after Bush is out of office.
Yeah. And just on that score, do you expect a pardon-rich Christmas this year from the White House?
Personally, I still expect the Scooter Libby pardon, Libby being such a close to Dick Cheney, and Dick Cheney clearly pulling for Libby, so I won't be at all surprised to see a subpoena, to see a pardon there. Other than that, I wouldn't expect a pardon rich Christmas, because President Bush has been remarkably stingy with pardons.
Mm-hmm.
He is pardoned less than I think any other president in recent history.
Well, he's saving up.
He will pardon his own close associates is a different matter.
He's saving up all that political capital. I'm not sure what else he would do with it. Melanie Sloan with us from CREW. Visit their website, citizensforethics.org. And at the top of the homepage right now, you have a member of Congress from California. And I did a double take because I'd never heard of this woman before. And Laura Richardson, it turns out, was a member of the Long Beach City Council. She got elected to the State Assembly, moved to Sacramento, bought a house, and then a sitting member of Congress died. She ran in the special election to replace her, got elected, and moved to Washington. And now she's discovered that her Sacramento home has been foreclosed on. And this is a fascinating story. Again, she is the second most junior member of the California congressional delegation, and I didn't even know she had moved up from Sacramento.
Right, and she wants us all to feel sorry for her. So her house was foreclosed on while she's making about $170,000 a year as a member of Congress. She has an additional $20,000 per diem housing allowance here. And then she, rather than paying her mortgage, she gave about $75,000 apparently to her own campaign. So she decided it was more important to get elected into Congress than to pay her mortgage. I'm sure other people have other things that they would rather pay than their mortgages too. But you would think members of Congress would be fiscally responsible enough to actually pay their mortgages.
Mm-hmm. So she's just asking for sympathy here. Has she tried to use herself as a poster child for foreclosure?
In fact, yes. Funny you should ask. She's trying to say that she understands the problem of most Americans who are suffering from foreclosure, and we should all look to her and be sympathetic. Now, most Americans who are suffering foreclosure don't earn $170,000 a year, and they're still managing to pay their mortgages. They're not coming up with a bunch of excuses about why they're not paying them. And she also, by the way, failed to pay $9,000 in delinquent property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
She's explaining that she's a single woman, and she was trying to restructure this, and the mean old bank just wouldn't help her out.
Now, are you accusing her of any ethical violations? Did she try to use campaign money to pay her mortgage? Did she try to use her position as a sitting member of Congress to beat up the mortgage company? Did she do anything improper in that sense?
You know, as far as I know, right now, it looks like she just flat out didn't pay her mortgage and she got foreclosed on. Now she's saying that she's trying to restructure it. If she is trying to restructure it and she is getting special terms because she is a member of Congress, then she would, in fact, be violating the gift rule, which says that even loans are gifts. And so if a congressperson gets special consideration just because of their position in Congress, that wouldn't be okay. But at this point, I don't know that that's happening. What I guess I'm just outraged about Laura Richards then is she makes $170,000 a year. She's supposed to be a responsible member of Congress. Here she is having her house foreclosed on because she's sending the money over to her campaign committee instead of paying her mortgage, and she's going to vote on what the rest of America should do to be fiscally responsible. She's not really someone I feel like we can trust.
Now, can you grab a tissue, Melanie, because I got the tearjerker quote here.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm Laura Richardson. I'm an American. I'm a single woman who had four employment changes in less than 4 months. I had to figure out, just like every other American, how I could restructure the obligations I had with the income I had. Well, that doesn't quite add up, does it?
No, it doesn't. And perhaps really she needs to have one more job change, and then that should be it for a while.
Okay. Well, this is a wonderful way to be introduced to the American public and to me. That is Laura Richardson, a Democratic member of Congress from Southern California, and she took the seat of Juanita Millender-McDonald.
Millender-McDonald, who died.
Yeah, who died while in office. So much for that one. Now, the ethics office over at the House, they must have been really busy the last couple of weeks with the Vito Fasella case and the Rick Renzi case. They putting in for overtime over there, Melanie?
They are super busy. They are so busy telling all of us that they can't do anything about any of these problems. That's what they're busy with over there. And I'm sure that you're shocked at this news.
Well, as we discussed, they went through the motions of changing the rules for violations of ethics in the House. And as I described it, they opened a new window around the corner from the old door. It said, oh, well, drop off your complaint at the new window. But the process inside the office doesn't seem to have changed a whit.
That's exactly right. They have a new policy whereby they have to open up subcommittee investigations into anybody who's indicted. So what they do is they open up these investigations and then they immediately shut them down, saying they have to defer them until the matter has been prosecuted by whatever authority is handling it, whether it's the Department of Justice or, say, in Virginia, the district attorney that handles drunk driving, which is Vito Fasella's problem. Also on the Vito Fasella matter, and as I'm sure your listeners will remember, he's the one who was stopped for drunk driving in Virginia, and then it turns out he has a whole extra family on the side.
Yep.
Vito Fasella, so the subcommittee has decided that they can't hear the drunk driving issue right now, and they have no plans to take up the other issue, which is that he was romancing Lieutenant Colonel Laura Fay on federal dollars when he was on congressional delegation travel, taking trips just so he could push forward his romantic relationship while his wife was here in the United States.
And one,
they're not going to hear that.
One could accept some matters of discretion and indiscretion, but we have a central point here, as you have told us in preceding weeks, Melanie, that Vito Fasella didn't just have an affair with this woman and father a child, but he used taxpayer dollars to take trips to Paris and other locations with her. So that is a serious ethical violation that goes beyond his privacy as a
jerk.
A donor.
I go with a jerk. Yeah, it does. I mean, we are, you know, as much as it might sound like it, we're not the morality police. But the fact of the matter is, you're not allowed to use taxpayer dollars to conduct your affairs. There are rules about congressional travel. It's only supposed to be for official purposes. Having an affair doesn't constitute an official purpose. The Ethics Committee could easily look at that if they chose to, but they've decided not to, probably in part because Vito Fasella has done the Republicans the great favor of finally deciding to retire. He's not going to run again. And interestingly enough, the Politico wrote a story on its blog this afternoon saying he was seen jogging today with the girlfriend.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
All right. One final story that's up at the Crew website right now. Ron Paul, who is a darling of certain people because he's the only anti-war Republican who ran for president this year. He's an unusual guy, a libertarian on many issues. I really wasn't buying what he was selling, but your point is not about the campaign and the issues that he raised, but that he hired a bunch of family members to populate the campaign team.
Right, and this is something we've been after Ron Paul about for a while. We've talked on your show before about the report Crew did, both the one on the House and the one on the Senate side, about how members of Congress so often seem to use their campaign committees basically to pay as family members, and Ron Paul is one of the biggest offenders. So all while he was in Congress, he was hiring, his campaign committee was hiring numerous family members, something that you can't do on the official payroll because of anti-nepotism rules. But there are no anti-nepotism rules for your campaign committee. So Ron Paul just continued that exact train and did it for his presidential campaign, too. And most of the people who are getting paid a lot of money by his presidential campaign, and who are, by the way, still getting paid by that presidential campaign, even though he can't possibly be the nominee any longer, are family members, including his his granddaughters, his daughter-in-law, his brother, his daughter, basically the whole family.
Yeah. Now, historically, though, I've known many members of Congress whose wives were on the staff. I have no idea if they were actually being paid, but the late Tom Lantos, his wife Annette, ran his schedule. You couldn't get an interview with Tom without talking to Annette. And Leon Panetta's wife, Sylvia, was very much a part of his operation. Again, I don't know if either of those spouses was actually getting a paycheck. But historically, hasn't this been kind of winked and nodded at?
No, you can't actually pay your wife. The only exception is if your wife was on the payroll before she became your wife. So you had a staffer who later became your spouse. That person could still receive the salary they were drawing before. But many members, including former Speaker of the House Tom Foley's wife, worked there as well, but was not paid. So there is a prohibition. There are pretty strict anti-nepotism rules for relatives you can put on the official payroll. But as I said, they don't apply to the campaign. In the campaign world, you can pay your family member as long as they're being paid fair market value for legitimate work.
All right. Melanie, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Melanie Sloan at Crew. Now to the Free Speed Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. I got some topics I'll float in a moment, but you can call me toll free at 888-5 Peter B.
Don't you criticize? Yeah, I got used. I'm not a fan of you. You let me down.
On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge. Mark Hood has devoted his life to protecting communities from crime. With 19 years as a criminal prosecutor and significant civil experience, Mark Hood has handled thousands of cases, including murder, crime by gang members, kidnapping, and fraud. Praised by judges, fellow prosecutors, and defense attorneys alike, and endorsed by law enforcement. On June 3rd, vote Mark Hood for judge.
I'm Mark Hood, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Hood judge.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I'm Jane Parker, and I'm running for Monterey County Supervisor. When Monterey County needed help on the problem of child abuse, I helped bring together schools, law enforcement, and social service providers. In the space of just 4 months, we developed a successful new program to protect children that helped hundreds of families in the first year. As supervisor, I'll tackle the problem of gang violence. We need to bring our communities together to keep our neighborhoods safe and our kids out of trouble. Learn more at electjaneparker.com and vote for me, Jane Parker, for supervisor on June 3rd.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and not a whole lot of new problems to tell you about. Southbound 101 after 146 way down at Soledad. Several large gray plastic bags flying around the lanes. Drive with caution there. For Watsonville, southbound 101, 52, a crash car and a big rig cleared to the shoulder. That should be in the final clearing stages. Tow trucks are now on the scene. For the Summit Fire, Santa Cruz County, it looks like they're expecting full containment by tonight. Some of the roadways have been reopened, including Eureka Canyon Road, Browns Valley Road, Hazeldale Road. Some roads may only be open for local residents, so check with your local authorities on that one. Highway 17, Santa Cruz Mountains, currently checking and installing accident-free. And this report being brought to you by Orkin Pest Control, where you see one pest, you know there's more. Visit OrkinMan.com for a free online pest test. Orkin, keeping pests in their place. If you spot a traffic problem, definitely give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And I pay for the call, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I've got a line open for you right now. And plenty to talk about. A lot of great guests on the program already today. Odette Wilkins talked about the homegrown terror bill that is now working its way through the legislature in Sacramento. They don't have a clue about how pernicious and insidious it really is. Betsy Reed, a feminist from The Nation, talked about Hillary Clinton's race to the bottom. I welcome your comments on that. And I note that it's been a while since a Clinton supporter has called this program. And I don't believe that I'm so intimidating or go for the throat kind of approach in my tone that I, you know, have sent this signal that you should not call. If you think Hillary Clinton deserves to win the nomination and that her rationale for Florida and Michigan makes sense, I'd like to hear from you. And if you think that the way women have been rallying in recent weeks, and we've talked about Women Pack, I'd like to hear your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B. Don't be shy. And do you think that Barack Obama should take up John McCain's offer to take a trip to Iraq? McCain saying, gosh, he hasn't been there for 2 years and hasn't seen all of the benefits of the surge. Well, I don't think that's a dare that Obama needs to take, but you can let me know about that. I'm really proud that Obama went right to Miami on Friday and gave a talk to Cuban Americans and did not pander to them with the same old crap that even Democrats like Bill Clinton have used effectively over the years. He's really ready to change our policy toward Cuba, and I find that so refreshing. And that he would go to Miami and say that is so remarkable in today's politics. I really think it's a big deal. And what about taxing porn films to help close the budget gap in California? Assemblymember Charles Calderon of Southern California is proposing a 25% tax on the gross revenues, aren't all their revenues gross, of all producers and distributors of adult entertainment. It's a big business in California. And they estimate that the industry takes in about $4 billion a year. A 25% tax would be about $1 billion. Are you interested in taxing porn? Any other sins you'd like to put up for taxation? Ben in Salinas, welcome to the program. How are you doing today?
Yeah, Peter, you know, you just broached on my subject. You must be ESP. You know, I'm going to run this past you. You said I could run my ideas past you.
Yes, you can.
Okay. There's a lot of people, for many different reasons, that would like to see Obama go away. On both sides of the political spectrum and the racial spectrum and any spectrum you want to measure by. And we got to remember our greatest heroes, the human beings that almost got recognition, JFK, Martin Luther King, and Bobby Kennedy, they were killed in broad daylight in front of us, and we still haven't gotten the truth on any of their deaths.
Yep.
Now, John McCain, he's baiting Obama. Oh, he's cowardly to not go and see the you know what? That place is crawling with Blackwater snipers. We still haven't gotten the truth on how Tillman had three shots placed in the center between his eyes on a one-inch space. That was not no camel jockeys that did that to him.
Yeah.
Excuse the remark.
Yeah.
But this guy was taken out. Now, should Obama go over there and be exposed to that?
No. And I think there are other reasons on a policy level that he shouldn't take the bait from McCain. But I think it's an interesting discussion. Thank you, Ben. We'll take more calls in a moment. The free speech zone is open.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hambly, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Folks,
sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Alerting all satellites.
Interrupting all programs.
Terrestrial custom pirate satellites. Orbiting your living room. Catching the Bill of Rights.
This is the Peter B. Collins Show on a legal satellite. Beaming our program up and down the left coast. I'm glad you're listening. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show today, I'm doing a doubleheader. I'll be on Air America tonight, Ghost to Ghost, sitting in for John Elliott. And that program originates 8 to 11 p.m. Pacific time, 11 to 2 a.m. Eastern time. We've got a lot of great people who will be joining me. Alan Rabinowitz, who I met in Missoula, Montana a couple of weeks ago. He's from the Panthera Foundation and an expert on Burma, Myanmar, and he'll kick off the show. Cliff Schechter, our John McCain expert, and lots of other people, including Robert Dreyfus, who's staying up past midnight in his time zone to talk with us about a recent trip he took to Iran. So that's on Air America tonight, and I don't believe any of my affiliate stations carry the John Elliott Show, so log on to airamerica.com and catch the live stream. And any Peter B. Collins Show listeners who call in and I identify, I will reward you. I'm not sure how, but I will. 888-5-PETER-B. We're back from the holiday, and we're in the free speech zone. Got a couple of lines available. Want you to know that before the end of the hour, our official film reviewer, Gary Chu, will join us to give us his comments on Recount, which is the HBO film about the 2000 stolen election in Florida. I think they did a pretty good job. I watched it the other night, and I'll share some of those comments with Gary a little bit later this hour. But first, Eugene's on the line from Santa Cruz. Thanks for holding on, Eugene. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B., I'm in the stronghold of liberal Santa Cruz.
Yeah?
How's it going?
I'm doing fine today. How about you? The fire's out, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much been out for a while, a couple of days.
Well, I'm glad they got that under control, and I'm still wondering whether my friend Stephen Seaweed lost his house up on Summit Road.
Seaweed?
Yeah.
I probably not.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm calling because I'm a Hillary supporter.
Well, welcome. You're the first out Hillary supporter who's called into this show in weeks. I'm delighted.
Yeah, well, I went out for coffee, happened to tune you in, and you were saying that you needed somebody to call in, so I called you right away.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that because...
Are you a Barack Obama supporter?
I am.
Moving in that direction?
No, I've announced since December that I am supporting Senator Obama. He is my choice. I was actually a Kucinich supporter, and when it became clear that Kucinich wasn't going to go the distance, I was leaning toward John Edwards, and then he pulled out of the California primary. So I've been clear about my support for Obama, and apparently that puts off people who support Senator Clinton.
It's probably just because they don't want to feel like, you know, they don't want to cause arguments, you know, within...
Well, but I think a healthy debate is warranted here, and I think Democrats shouldn't be afraid of that. But I feel that a lot of people have kind of hardened their positions and stopped discussing it, and I find that a very serious problem.
Well, I think the Democratic Party needs to have an open debate about Barack Obama because there's a lot of things going on, you know. You know, if you take a look at the Carter administration and what was going on in the United States at a particular time, kind of overlay that over what we have going on now, you can clearly see the Brzezinski influence in Barack Obama. He's a supporter of Barack Obama. And then
well,
also there's a
Eugene?
Brzezinski writing for McCain as well.
Eugene?
Yeah.
I was concerned that Zbigniew Brzezinski was described as a foreign policy advisor to Barack Obama, but it turns out it's not true. They've had one meeting, and it occurred about a year ago.
Yeah, well, let's just say that's probably a public meeting.
Well, Eugene,
all the research that I've done, Peter, and I've done quite a bit, shows that there's, that particular camp is guiding not only Barack Obama but also John McCain. So Barack Obama can't beat McCain. Barack Obama's only one in Republican states that'll never go Democratic.
Wait, Eugene, that's not true. Okay, he has won Wisconsin, he has won Colorado, and there are a number of other states. And,
yeah,
and
but,
this is,
but compared to
Eugene,
California, New
Eugene,
York, Pennsylvania, Ohio,
I understand
Florida,
that.
Michigan,
but Eugene,
Democrats have to go head to head with a Republican and bring home those delegates to
right.
take home the win.
Electoral votes, yeah.
I just don't think Barack Obama's got the steam.
Okay, Eugene, hold on a minute. You're doing Eugene, can we have a dialogue here, or are you just going to talk?
I'm sorry. I'm just feeling like you're going to hang up on trying to get as many
points as I can. Okay, fine. I'm going to give you another full minute here after I finish talking, okay?
Okay,
so I don't want you to fear that my finger's on the button and I'm about to drop your call.
That's
here's my point, that, there are certainly questions about Obama because he's new on the political scene. But I think that it's really unfair to try to lump him together, number one, with Brzezinski, and number two, to make the phony claim that because we've had a spirited primary, that he can't win the states that Hillary won.
We can throw those two points out if you want, because now if you want to throw those points out, there's three main issues in Barack Obama's portfolio that are going to cause him problems with those head-to-head with any Republican.
All right.
Karl Rove got hold of a tape called the Hate Whitey speech given by Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to release that. He's already been meeting with 527 committees about funding a hit boat, a swift boat campaign against him.
Mm-hmm.
There's this Larry Sinclair thing. There's the choir master that was found murdered at church. I mean, he's going to get destroyed in the general election.
Now, who's Larry? Who's Larry?
Larry Sinclair.
Yeah. And what's
Google
that about?
Larry Sinclair. You'll see the whole thing. I don't want to get into it on your show because it's too much. But just check it out and check it out. Hillary's more of a New Deal mentality than Barack Obama. So even if you just look at it, plain elitist versus New Deal. If you're a working man, Hillary's the one for you as far as I'm concerned.
Really? Wait. Eugene, we got to talk about this. First of all, this whole idea that Obama is somehow an elitist is such a pile of crap. They all went to Ivy League institutions. There's no real distinction between that lineage. And the Clinton, the Clintons have taken in $109 million, Eugene.
What about the support from Wall Street?
Eugene.
I mean, he's going to take the money from the American people and give it back to Wall Street. And everybody's going to be sitting around wondering what happened.
All right, Eugene.
Yeah.
I've given you an opportunity to make your points, and you don't really want a dialogue. You're just spouting off a bunch of statements.
But
keep doing the same thing. And I'm out of time now. I'm going to move on to another call. But I just want you to honestly tell me that you're comfortable with the statements that Hillary Clinton has made recently about Iran.
I'm not really comfortable with Hillary Clinton in general, but out of the two, I have to go with Hillary because I'm a Democrat and I want the Democrats to win the presidency and I want the Democrats to win the veto-proof majority in the House and the Senate so that we can progress our agenda. And I'm afraid that Barack Obama is going to get shot down by McCain and it's going to be back to the neocon agenda.
All right. Thank you, Eugene. He's very well informed about the negative talking points coming out of the Clinton campaign, I'll say that. Bob in Monterey, thanks for holding. You're next here in the free speech zone.
Thank you, Peter B. Yeah, Eugene's pretty well informed, I'd say. I wonder if he knows that a two-party system in the United States is really a one-party system, though.
Well,
the problem that I have. And
yeah.
I wanted to comment on what you when you were talking about raising money by taxing the pornography industry.
Right.
There's a lot of vices on this planet, in this world. But rather than tax the pornography industry today, I suggest perhaps maybe there will be a point in time where we're going to need to go to them, get funding to help recover our rights and liberties in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say, I'm not a Hustler subscriber, but Larry Flint puts a lot of the money that he makes on porn into fighting to preserve the First Amendment, and I appreciate that. So has Hugh Hefner, and so has Bob Guccione.
The second half of that point that I'd like to make is that every time that the government gets involved in taxes, they are basically taking our money. Then they're using that money against us. We need a smaller government as opposed to the large one we have currently.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call today. I appreciate that. Now to Wayne and Ben Lomond. Hello, Wayne. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pretty good today. Thanks.
I was calling. I wonder if anybody, if you noticed the on the George Stephanopoulos this week, Karl Rove was on, and at the end of the interview, he asked him if... he asked him about the testifying before Congress, and Karl Rove kind of danced around that. And then the final question was, he asked him point blank if he knew, if he had any discussions regarding the prosecution of the governor prior to the action taking place, and he danced around the question.
Yeah, he kept repeating an obviously rehearsed talking point about how he read it in the newspaper.
Yeah, but the problem with that is he could have talked to him ahead of time saying, I want you to do it, and then the first time he heard that it was happening was when he read it in the newspaper. And
Wayne, I can't believe you're so skeptical of a fine American like Karl Rove. You think he would shade the truth? You think he would rehearse lines to deceive you without actually feeling like he lied?
Well, I know it's hard to believe, but it's the only thing I can come up with when he danced around such a simple question.
Right. Well, I mean, he clearly, the other thing you should look for is online, there's a fascinating letter that Karl Rove wrote to Dan Abrams, and I counted it, there were something like 67 questions that he asked, and of course, he gave up no information of his own, but he kept challenging the MSNBC coverage of Siegelman's claims without ever, you know, making an assertion that would either prove or deny, prove true or false, anything that had been said. And so Rove is really good at that kind of bluster and smoke and mirrors stuff. And since we heard from Melanie Sloan and also from Jason Leopold last hour that we don't expect that the Rove subpoena will actually cause him to appear before the House Judiciary Committee, we're probably never going to get the truth out of this guy.
Well, I don't know why the master at arms or the sergeant at arms can't just go and grab him. They have the authority.
As the law has been explained to me, they first have to go through this whole process where they authorize the Justice Department to serve the subpoena. And then when Justice declines to do that, they can order it enforced by the House. But it takes a much longer process, and the Republicans are clearly just trying to run out the clock on this.
Yeah, well, it seems like if the Democrats would speed things up a little bit instead of having a meeting and then a month and a half later schedule the next one. When you look at the things that they accomplished during the year, they really can't be that busy.
Well, you're right about that, Wayne. And the Democrats have been disappointing. They make noises, they publish press releases, but with impeachment off the table, the Republicans know that nothing serious is going to happen. We're going to take more calls after a break, and Gary Chu is going to give us a review of the new HBO film Recount here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Well,
Well, checking traffic on KRXA for the final time this evening. Injury crash just coming in westbound 68 after Laurelis Grade Road. Couple of cars involved. It looks like emergency crews on the scene already. CHP on the way, but look for some heavy traffic as you approach the area. For Prunedale, northbound 101 after Viera Canyon Road, getting reports of a person walking around the center divide, apparently waving at cars as they go by. Kind of a visual hazard there, so drive with caution if you're out there. 17 Santa Cruz Mountains currently checking and stalling accident-free. The Summit Fire pretty much out at this point. It's 85 to 90% contained. They are reopening the roadway up there. Just some are only open for residents, so if you live in the area, check with the fire department or police to see if it's okay to go back up there. This is brought to you by Garmin. With a Garmin Nuvi, you'll know where you are, and with the turn-by-turn spoken directions, you'll know where you're going. As you navigate life, follow the leader, get a Garmin. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hello, this is Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Join us this Sunday at 6 p.m. for Good Vibrations, Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships, communication, health, and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations, Sunday at 6 p.m. on AM 540 KRXA.
For me, it started in the fields. It started seeing people sick and dying from pesticide poisoning. I'm Bill Monning. I'm a candidate for Assembly today because working together, I know we can make a difference. I brought growers, workers, and neighbors together to take on the chemical companies. That fight took me to Sacramento, where I helped pass bills that have protected workers, rural residents, and our environment. I'm Bill Monning. Working with people to improve our lives and build our community is what is most important to me. For the past 35 years, I've raised a family here, taught at the Monterey Institute and the Monterey College of Law, and worked to build mediation alternatives to legal disputes. My latest project is bringing conflict resolution into our schools to keep kids from resorting to violence. Now I want to take those mediation skills to get things done in Sacramento. Join our campaign. To volunteer for Monning for Assembly, call 655-1792 or check our website, billmonning.org. Paid for by Bill Monning for Assembly.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes in front of the hour. Gary Chu is going to give us a review of Recount, the HBO special film that debuted the other night and continues to be shown there on that premium channel. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Don't burn yourself out working too many hours, will you?
I'll do my best.
Okay, good man. You had been very helpful in getting the word out on our efforts to get this petition on the ballot. So the recruiters shouldn't be out trying to recruit kids under the age of 18.
Right.
And we had all been operating on the assumption we had a few months to get this job done. And we learned that we don't, that boom, it had just ended on us. And so we're going to have to extend it and go for a later ballot.
Okay, so it didn't qualify in time to make the November ballot?
No, it didn't. I'm happy to report that our cater, who has some wonderful, you know, activists, young students there, they got twice the votes that they needed, but we haven't done it. We thought we had much more time than we had.
So
we're going to be doing it for another few months.
But okay.
I want to let everybody know if they still want to sign it, there's places we're going to be. One of them is every Friday, there's 5 to 6. We stand in front of the courthouse.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to join us there. In fact, you're welcome to stand with us, but we will have the petition there for sure.
Okay.
There'll be other places, but it's something worthwhile. We maybe saved the lives of a few underage kids.
And Dave, under the local rules in Humboldt County, do the signatures that you have now continue to count, or will you have to requalify and start all over?
Oh, boy, I didn't want to hear a question like that.
Oh, sorry.
But no, it's my understanding. We've been just continuing from where we were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're doing all right on that. I don't think there's anything like restarting. No, no.
Okay.
I'm subject to bouts of depression. Why would you bring a thing like that?
Sorry, Dave. Well, give my best to Dave Meserve, who helped write that, and I know spearheaded the effort to get it passed, and I hope you'll continue.
He's still helping us, but he's the one that pulled the Arcader group together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
We got some good people here, too. We just thought we had more time than we have.
All right. Understood.
Thank you for everything, Peter.
You bet, Dave. Thanks for checking in today. I appreciate that. And before we go to Gary Chu and the movie review, just wanted to mention an interesting story in today's New York Times. It started on page one and jumped to the front news section there. And it says that in 2007, nearly 2 million brand new automobiles were purchased with home equity loans. That's right. As the value of people's homes was declining, people were borrowing money on their declining equity to buy new cars. In California, 30% of the cars purchased in 2007 were made with at least some financing from people's home equity loans. Wow. And now, if you bought a gas-guzzling, like, H2 Hummer, chances are your vehicle is worth about half of what you paid for it. And in some cases, houses have declined in value almost as sharply. Some of the theme music in the new HBO film called Recount. It debuted on Sunday night, and it's available on demand and shows on HBO channels for the next 6 months or something like that. Gary Chu joins us. He watches the movies and checks on them for us. And Gary, how are you today?
Peter B., I'm great.
Well, good. What did you think of Recount?
Pretty good, pretty good. I was expecting it to be a little bit more up and down and maybe a little bit more off the wall, but I thought it was almost approached the didactic in places in its effort to make sure that we got the full story of what's going on in Florida in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little an anxiety causing film to watch. Acting was great, I thought. Of course, Spacey's one of my favorite actors these days, and Dennis Leary, he gets into that Boston accent so easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a pretty good film. I really thought the main line that Ron Klain, the character, had in that film was so good was the, quote, every vote from every citizen deserves to be counted. I can't think of anybody really disagreeing with that line, can you?
Well, they shouldn't.
I don't think so either. Good makeup in this film, too. Particularly for the people that we know by sight on television, like Tom Wilkerson as James Baker.
Mm-hmm. He was really good.
Yes, and Catherine Harris's character played by Laura Dern, which was a little over the top. But everybody says that Catherine Harris is a little over the top.
I've never met the woman, but it sure rung true for me. And yes, you know, I have a caricature view of
yeah.
Catherine Harris. I will acknowledge that. But I thought Laura Dern really played the character well, including that point, you know, when one of her aides was trying to brief her and she was just reveling in the, you know, the star power that had suddenly been invested in her.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the feeling at times when I'd see her acting in one of those scenes that David Lynch may be coaching her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something that struck me about the movie is that I think it's really well made to actually use sort of as a classroom movie in, say, a civics class or something, if they ever have those anymore, except for the fact that the language is rather strong and some people may have some problems with that, but I thought, don't you think that it was pretty good in recounting what happened?
I do. The one thing that, as I'm looking back on it right now, and I'm probably going to watch it again, Gary, but I felt that they certainly showed how the television networks called and then uncalled the election in Florida, but they didn't show the role of the Bush family cousin, who was there at the Fox News Channel, and who really did put his thumb on the scale at about 2 o'clock in the morning on that election night and caused them to, at that point, call the election for Bush. And I think that was a very critical point because, as Brad Friedman has told us on many occasions, when people go to sleep on election night, that's pretty much where they lock in, and that's what they presume to be the result. And that was a very critical factor, and I don't think that they covered that as closely as, in my view, they should have.
Well, that's unfortunate. I just didn't remember that, but it strikes me that maybe they backed off on that just a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they did pull a few punches that way, but I do give them credit for being equally critical of the Gore and the Bush campaign teams who showed up there.
Yeah.
Well, Gary,
I recommend it.
I do, too, and we'll be watching it again. Thanks for your comments, Gary.
You bet, Peter.
Gary Chu here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Time for me to head on out the door. I'll be on Air America tonight, 8 to 11 Pacific time. Catch me then if you can. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Maybe it's just a matter of perception, but Americans perceive a very shaky economy right now. Lynn Franco of the Conference Board says consumer confidence is at its lowest level since 1992.
Consumers are telling us that the economy continues to lose steam. They're quite bleak about the possibility of a turnaround in the next few months. And rising prices at the pump are also heightening their inflation fears.
Adding to the worry are falling home prices.
We've, of course, never seen anything like this. The price declines are unprecedented, down 15% from a year ago and much more than that from their peak, which was well over 2 years ago.
Mark Zandi at MoodysEconomy.com. Mortgage foreclosures have pulled prices down, and analysts say there are more foreclosures in the pipeline. But in some of the hardest-hit markets, sales are starting to pick up as bargain hunters venture into the market. Sunday's tornado devastated Parkersburg, Iowa, killing 7 people and flattening about half the town. Now the National Weather Service confirms it was an EF5 with wind over 200 miles per hour. Angie Hunt of CBS television station KCII is there.
Cars were just thrown for blocks on their tops. They have heavy equipment. You'll see forklifts going down the road with an SUV or a car on the end of it, taking it to basically what they've made into a makeshift junkyard on the edge of town.
Search and rescue teams are probing the debris for survivors or additional victims. It's a week to the finish line. Montana and South Dakota hold their primaries next Tuesday. Hillary Clinton campaigned in Pablo, Montana, late today.
Now, there are some who wish that this election had ended months ago, before you ever got a chance to vote. I am not one of them. The longer this election has gone on, the better I have done. So I am really excited about you voting here in Montana.
President Bush is in Phoenix this evening to help John McCain raise some money. But as CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports, it's all very private.
By inviting President Bush to a fundraiser that was closed to press coverage, John McCain set himself up for criticism led by Democrat Barack Obama.
No cameras, no reporters, and we all know why.
Senator McCain doesn't want to be seen, hat in hand, with the president whose failed policies he promises to continue.